All right, let's begin again.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hi, I'm Peter Griffin. You know, there's an issue facing many Americans today that I know concerns a great number of us. According to Gallup polls, 1 in 12 Americans is unaware that the bird is the word. I, for one, dream of an America where everybody knows that the bird is the word.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Now remember, we are live, so no swearing or they will cut you off.
What about ass?
What?
Is arse a swear word?
Arse, yes, it's a swear word.
No, it's not.
Checking one, checking one.
God, goddamn.
Check, checking. Jack, check. Pan. Check one, pan. Checking, pan.
I can't believe all the inappropriate things I hear on the radio. I mean, I don't want my kids listening to that stuff.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's snowing, dog.
Roll another one.
Tainted panties for you.
Just like the other one.
Who cares? A hole is a hole.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Hang on tight, spider monkey!
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine,
Tina, come get some ham.
Roll another one.
Open wide for Chunky.
Just like the other. This one seems to be about to end.
How about the basketball game?
I don't have another cent.
You are a murderer of love!
This is not a very nice show.
Just pass it around.
I actually do like white bands.
Jesus H. Christ in a chicken basket.
And now,
we're gonna celebrate with this joint. Bless you, Jesus. God created pot for us to smoke.
Our feature presentation.
It's been too long since we've had the Armenian comedian on.
I agree.
It's been a while.
No, we need to have him
really
on.
Not really too long. It has been a long time, but not too long.
You know, Lightning.
It's like,
Lightning
it's like saying it's been too long since I've had the flu. A bunch of time has passed doesn't mean we miss it.
He's an entertainer and he misses his audience.
Right.
Lightning works in the video department now for the website.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually stop by his desk before I go home every day because, you know, we have a nice loving embrace and kiss. And I swear to you, every day Sam calls him while I'm standing there.
And says what?
Just any number of, I got a new band, I wanted to tell you about a gig, I'm doing stand-up, I figured out the cure for AIDS, whatever it is. It's just absurd.
And he talks to him. He's got to be the most patient man in the world.
Well, he is videotaping. I mean, he does have a camera rolling. He probably has 3,000 phone calls with Sam. I don't know what he plans on doing with it, but it is that guy is unbelievable.
Wow.
That could be the world's most boring DVD if you ever put some together.
That's correct. Yeah, if people have trouble sleeping, just put that right on. You'll go right out.
It's a good idea.
By the way, you can get in on Kevin and Bean's Friday edition of What It Do Nephew. Lines are open right now at 1-800-520-1067. I'd like to invite people who have never called the show before but have always listened to this segment. Well, today's your day. Today's the day to pick up the phone and call and be part of it and get that thing off your chest you've been wanting to tell us for however long it's been since you haven't called.
Or a question, either way. Don't yawn already.
I'm sorry.
You can't yawn.
Wait, I'm just waking up.
Yeah, but
it's not like I'm going to sleep.
Listen,
still waking up.
Yawning is contagious.
Sorry.
And we will all fall asleep, and this show doesn't need to be
boring.
Where's
my tea, intern?
Wow.
Well, I've heard that we have intern struggles already this semester.
Because
apparently they're not letting Kevin hire the hot chicks that applies, so they're hiring quote-unquote competent people who may just be dudes.
Yeah.
That is true.
There were two dudes that we hired this time. The hot chick was good, but the guy was great.
Right.
And then you go, well, I don't know, the hot chick, you know, she's a hot chick, so she's got that factor.
Yeah, but
can't she be trained if she's hot, even if she seems weak at the interview? It seems to me like she could be trained to do this stuff.
I beg to differ. We've had a few who could not be trained.
They weren't hot.
Yeah, that's true.
What about, what's her name? The one that, crap.
Yeah, we had Dummy Dum Dum.
We had Dummy Dum Dum, right.
But, I mean, and we had...
And she couldn't be trained.
The blonde that was just on Fridays last semester, what's her name?
She was magic! Turn right and hope for the best was
yes.
worth the entire interview.
Yeah, she
but
was
can't,
the best.
Could be trained.
No, of course
doesn't
not.
Doesn't matter.
He said could be trained.
Turn
I am arguing
right
that.
Right and hope for the best was worth the entire internship.
I'm not disagreeing.
That's an intern who we sent for food.
But useless.
For those of you who didn't hear, we sent her for food, and she didn't know where the restaurant was. I don't know if it was McDonald's
it
or what.
It was McDonald's.
And she didn't have any idea where this area. So she got in her car, and literally she told us she turned right and hoped for the best. You could drive for, a year before you run into a McDonald's. I think Madison was her name.
Madison, that's it.
Oh, that's
it.
Right.
That's
she
right.
was magic.
Yes,
remember
she was.
She dissed Petros' cousin. She was, what do you mean useless? She was maybe the greatest intern ever.
Greatest on the bad scale, though.
Right, but in terms of what Bean was saying, which is you could train a hot chick.
Right.
No. It's not
going to happen. It's not, Well, usually
you may get magic. You're not going to get competent.
We look for some type of damage.
Yeah.
That, for us, is entertainment. But there wasn't enough damage in this crop, so we had to go with people that can kind of do it. This
it's
is only
true.
This guy's
the hot
second
chick
day.
Didn't seem damaged. Just,
no.
Yeah, normal.
This is intern's second day, so he'll be fine.
I'm sure he'll be fine.
The other hot chick Kevin hired because her dad was the Michael Jordan of bass fishing.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Kevin said, you're hired. When you told him that, you're in.
My dad is the Michael Jordan of bass fishing.
But even to come up with that sentence,
right.
You're in, right?
I'm in.
That's creative.
Absolutely. All right. 1-800-520-1067 is the number for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Next.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right, how about a pair of passes to Universal Studios Hollywood? It's the entertainment capital of L.A., don't you know? And it seems like a pretty good prize just for getting on the air for a minute and talking to us.
All right, let's start with Nick. Hey, Nick.
Hey, what it do?
What it do?
What it do?
I want to talk to you guys about the show Dark Blue.
That is a good show, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really good.
Dark Blue is on Wednesday night?
I believe so.
On TNT?
Yeah. Yes.
I want to say?
I recorded it. I haven't watched it
yet.
It
is a really good show. It's about being undercover. Undercover cop that, his group might be getting too undercover, that kind of thing. And It was really well done. Mike tipped me off to it.
Excellent.
So that's another good show. Maybe, in the summer when all of your shows are gone, you're waiting 17 months for Lost or whatever it is before that comes back.
Yeah, right.
check out Dark Blue.
Okay.
It's a very good show. Thank you. That's a good tip. Let's see.
Is that Dylan McDermott's show?
Yes.
Yeah.
From formerly The Practice and Boston Legal. Yeah.
I went to the press junket for this show because I had to do the advertising campaign for it. And he's intimidatingly good looking. In real
Even
life.
Better
like,
in person.
Yeah, he's it makes you uncomfortable. There's those dudes that you meet every once in a while. He's one of those guys.
I can't even imagine that.
I did. He was with his lady, but I was like, hey, ditch the broad.
Yeah, that's good. All right, let's go to Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
What it do? Yesterday you guys were talking about Wipeout and people not getting carried out on stretchers. Well, I had a friend, his mom went on the show, and she tore her ACL, and she was out for 6 months, a mother of three.
No kidding.
Yeah, and they don't show it. They just cut, she falls in the water, and they cut the commercial or whatever.
I got to tell you that.
I am not surprised.
For my money, that show rules.
They still do the big balls, right?
They do.
I love the big balls.
And they change everything up each time so that there are...
Hey, let Lisa say that again, please.
I love the big balls.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
How big my balls are? My balls are bigger than two of your heads duct taped together.
So so those people wipe out like crazy, and just watching people fall, I could do that 24 hours a day.
It is hysterical.
It really
I
is.
Mean, I find myself crying. I'm laughing so hard.
And I don't think I want to see your friend's mom tear her ACL.
That's the bad part, but you don't see that part.
I'm in it for the face plants and the mud water and all that crap.
Not surprising that people are getting hurt.
That was not code. That's actually happening. Yeah, it's not surprising at all that people get hurt on that course. I wish we could do that course. That'd be fun.
Those balls are sensational.
Yeah.
I bet we could line up something. I bet if we contacted the Wipeout people, I bet they'd let us do something with it.
That'd be awesome.
Don't like you? That'd be fun. It'd be a fun video for the website.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, let's go to Frank. Hey, Frank.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
I watched that movie Unborn, and there is a Megan Fox look like poor man's version. Not hot, but...
Poor man is in the Unborn?
What's that?
I said, tell me about this chick. Who is she?
No.
I don't know her name.
Hang on a second. Back up, Frank. Back up, Frank. It's right. Odette Yusman. And,
oh, that's who.
Right.
And we had her in the studio, and she is not a poor man's Megan Fox.
What does that mean? What do you mean? You're saying she's not attractive, Kevin?
I'm saying she's not a lesser Megan Fox.
Different.
She's super hot.
She's really attractive, but she's not...
I think poor man's Megan Fox means if you can't have Megan Fox, you get the next best thing.
What Lisa's trying to say is Megan Fox is always talking about smoking weed and having lesbian affairs and going to strip clubs and stuff. Odette Yusman is going with you to like Barnes & Noble and having some chai and you guys can share a
really
book.
Really attractive,
you know,
girl.
Super, super hot, but not like... Megan
not
Fox
sexy.
Is riding Harleys and, you know... bisexual.
That's
right,
a good tip,
right.
though.
We good always, point, Mike. That's
it's a,
it.
It's a good tip. We're always looking for attractive people.
And we liked that Odette Yusman, too. She was awesome.
She was.
She came in, right?
Yeah.
We really enjoyed her.
Let's take one more call because this is my people. Brandon, hi.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, I just wanted to tell my boss, Jason, that I'm sorry I'm late for work. I'm on the way.
What time were you supposed to be there?
What's that?
What time were you supposed to be there?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock?
You're way late.
Wow.
You're more than Kevin late.
I was thinking 5:30. What do you do?
Plumbing.
Plumbing.
Yeah. Why are you late?
What's that? Why am I late?
Yes.
I slept in.
Okay.
Got my alarm.
I like that.
Back to sleep.
I like the honesty. I slept in, that's why.
Yeah. Okay.
Is your boss...
He's listening right now. So.
Oh, your boss listens to the show. Okay, fantastic.
You think this is going to help?
What's that?
You think it's going to help telling him on the air?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the call.
Wow.
Appreciate it. It doesn't help that he couldn't hear us, but
no,
I think he could.
What?
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
I don't know if you watch The Entourage, but Emmanuelle Shariki.
Kind of attractive.
A bit.
A little.
She plays Sloane on that show. She's back in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk to her on today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay.
We have Laird Hamilton. I don't know if you recognize that name. He is the
he's
the guy that surfs the biggest waves in the world.
He's been in our studio, and I just want to smear him with moisturizer.
He needs moisturizer?
He really, really
he
does.
He wants to do the same to you.
It's not surprising. He spends all his time in the water and the sun. But
he's the guy that finds the waves out in the middle of the ocean and helicopters in and then has a jet ski pull him in so he's got some speed up so he can surf them for like 10 miles.
He's crazy. Yeah.
Adam Carolla will be here this week in Rage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Always funny. Could I hear your impression again, please, Bean?
Nope.
Okay. People who are left at the altar?
Oh.
Always funny stories. Always. The people who change their mind at the very last minute.
That has to be...
the best.
I'm looking forward to this conversation because we talked about it off the air yesterday, and Miss Cleo says she would rather the guy show up and go through with the wedding rather than call it off, even if they're going to break up the next day. Because she thinks that's less embarrassing. And I disagree with that.
Well, there is a public embarrassment factor of having to cancel on all your guests. I would think it would be more... I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know either. I mean, I can't imagine actually being at the church...
Right, with
and,
the people.
Yeah, getting to that point. Wow.
At that point, you might want them just to go through
Maybe
with it.
Maybe so.
Who
Have
knows?
The party.
Ralph,
I don't know.
Ralph will be here with the movie beat because it is Friday. And speaking of movies, in the Ukraine, they are banning Bruno. They do not want any part of that movie.
Well, I have a lot of friends who don't want any part of that movie, to be honest.
Turns out it's a little gay.
I loved it, but...
Who knew?
Yeah.
Got to be on L-O-G-O.
That's true. That's where it should be. That's true, Dewan. Thank you. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Finally, Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the day Ralph does triple duty because he's got the movie beat coming up and I'm sure some wacky celebrity voice or animal. Plus, he's here with the Showbiz Beat every hour. Good morning, Ralph.
Don't say, oh, wacky celebrity voice or animal like I'm forcing it on you guys. Oh, please let me be the talking bee. Oh, please, can I be the horny iguana?
That's
it's just
how
like
it
I
is
come to you guys.
Hang on, let me write that down. Horny iguana.
Rev, there's a story about a horny iguana. We'd like you to be the voice of that. You do it by the way, just job foisting it upon you. Oh, please let me do a wacky voice.
Did you see the email from Alex, our producer Alex, yesterday, informing us that the gay penguins have broken up? Because I think there may be a heartbroken gay penguin we need to talk to at some point next week.
I think I'm coming down with something.
Not feeling so good?
Got the avian flu.
Really?
And the swine flu.
Swine both.
Yeah. I got when pigs fly flu. That's what that's called.
What's Hollywood talking about this morning, Ralph Garman?
They're talking about Misha Barton's a nut job.
Do we know more?
What was that about? Misha Barton has gone under what they call a 5150, which for you Van Halen fans is a great album, but for the rest of us is the involuntary psychiatric hold.
Wow.
This is what they do when the cops pick you up and you're acting all nutty. And they take you to the hospital and you're a loon. They throw you in the padded room for a while just to keep an eye on you and see how things go down. I mentioned yesterday that she called the police freaking out. They showed up at her house on Wednesday to assist in a medical issue. And when they got there, she was whacked out of her head. So they took her to Cedars-Sinai, and they placed her under an involuntary psychiatric hold until they can sort this thing out. Usually, you have to present a danger to yourself or others before they slap you with the Section 5150. Or if you're gravely disabled or you're suffering from an obvious mental disorder, so we're not sure which of those criteria she fits, but not a good day for Misha Barton.
Yeah. No. And by the way, I know I mentioned this a few days ago, if you haven't seen pictures of her lately, you will not recognize her as the beautiful young woman who we know from the OC. I mean, she looks like she weighs about 85 pounds.
I heard she's really upset because her boyfriend Ryan moved back to Oklahoma and left the OC.
No, that was just the show that's been off for some time.
Oh.
I'm
not even sure if any of those details are correct about the OC, by the way. I don't think I've ever really watched that.
She is a bag of bones, though. She could eat a lot and be okay. Yeah.
I'd like to give her a bag of bones, you know what I'm saying?
No.
I don't either. Sometimes you can just say anything and it sounds dirty. John Gosselin.
Hey!
Who, by the way, I just can't get enough of. You know, I've never seen an episode of John and Kate Plus 8, but I just can't get enough of this couple because I just find them hilariously white trash and I just love watching the meltdown. This is my favorite spectator sport right here.
It has been a big meltdown.
We're learning more and more about his 22-year-old girlfriend who, may I remind you, is the daughter of the plastic surgeon who gave his soon-to-be ex-wife her tummy tuck. You have to go to, like, the real wives of Orange County or the real wives of New Jersey to find that kind of sentence. Turns out Haley Glassman is maybe not stepmom material. On her Facebook page, people are saying you can go and find photos of her intoxicated.
Good.
Falling face first into a potted plant.
Excellent.
Amongst other embarrassing, drunken escapades. Meanwhile, another girl named Joy Lawler has come forward saying that she was a longtime lesbian lover of Haley Glassman.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
She's the ultimate party girl, says Joy. And anyone who is remotely interested in her will be destroyed by her.
What?
Well, I guess she doesn't have an axe to grind. What? If you get involved with her, you will be destroyed.
She's a black widow?
Apparently.
Wow.
So, not a ringing endorsement for Haley Glassman.
The salute to Tuna!
I don't think he's looking for a good stepmom at this point.
No. But when you have eight kids.
I know.
And you reportedly have said you're already in plans to marry this woman as soon as you're and the ink on your divorce decree is dry, maybe that's something you have to consider when you have eight children.
When they come for the weekend.
There's going to be just even if you don't want her involved with the kids, you have eight of them. There's going to be some incidental contact. There's going to be some bleed over. She's not going to be able to avoid your kids.
Yeah, you're right.
When there's eight of them.
And most responsible people in this situation, I mean, that's high on the list of priorities in their new mate is somebody who's compatible and good with the kids.
Yeah. Right.
Meanwhile,
this kind of girl you just don't make permanent.
Maybe he just figured he couldn't find someone who would want to take on eight kids, so he may as well just go for
hot.
Yeah,
talk about a tough gig.
Yeah.
She's not hot either, trust me.
She's not hot at all.
Really?
But she apparently is a good time. Kate Gosselin, meanwhile, just got a little lonelier. You know, there was a long-standing rumor that she was having an affair with the family bodyguard, Steve Neild, who would travel with the family and with the wife when she did the personal appearances and kept an eye on him. Well, Steve's wife got an assful of those rumors pretty much and said,
uh-oh,
I think you need to find another line of work. So he has quit, is no longer the bodyguard for Kate or the family, and has moved on to greener pastures. So she just got a little more lonely.
Yeah.
I think it's that hairdo. If she got a new hairdo, maybe she would be a little less lonely. Yes. And by the way, have you seen, the, you know the hairdo I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's the opposite mullet. It's long in the front, short in the back.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, It's party in the front, business in the back.
Right.
And it kind of hangs over her face. And
it's
women have
emo.
Adopted this thing where you walk through the mall now, you see a ton of broads with this Shemp from the Three Stooges hair hanging in their face.
It's very popular.
F this.
Damn.
Her starting any trend is bad.
Yeah. Orlando Bloom was robbed.
Ooh.
Yeah, People Magazine report the actor's home was broken into while he was filming on location in New York, and burglars took off with almost $500,000 of his personal effects.
She does love jewelry, I understand.
What could that be?
I just won't bother with my jokes anymore. I'll just let Bean fill in the blanks.
$500,000.
Lots of expensive things. I was going to talk about evening gowns and jewelry and things like that.
That would have been good.
That would have been good.
Because he's kind of a girl.
See what you got now?
Oh, I didn't get it. Oh,
is that
I
what we're saying?
See. That would have been funny.
And NBC has pulled its show, The Listener, because
it
blew. Oh, you've heard of it. It's the guy. It's the guy who reads minds.
Oh, it's like
he's
the knockoff
a paramedic
of the
who reads minds. Well, no, he the mentalist reads people. This guy really can read minds. He's like Greg Grunberg's character in Heroes, where he can actually read your mind, and he uses his powers for good.
How many times has it been on?
He's an EMT who can read minds. And he helps
half a dozen or so.
Solve crimes and whatnot.
Hmm.
It's horrible.
Is it bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So NBC has pulled it and will sub in reruns of Law & Order beginning July 30th. So no more The Listener. And turns out no more The Watcher either. No one would bother watching that show. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Donald Sutherland is 74 years old today. Geezer Butler
from
Black Sabbath. Good old geezer. He literally is now a geezer at 60 years old. David Hasselhoff turns 57 years old. Producer Mark Burnett is 49. Bassist Lou Barlow, who played with Dinosaur Jr. and Folk Implosion, a bunch of other bands, he's 43. And Carrie Hart, our buddy, motocross star and owner of his very own tattoo emporium, turns 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about Amy Winehouse in a photograph that was released this week, Kevin, where she doesn't look horrible. I mean, she's still by no means attractive, but she at least looks like she's not going to die in the next 20 minutes.
She came back from St. Lucia, the island in the Caribbean where she's been for a year.
Yeah.
Seems like it, yeah.
Getting kicked out of various hotels and getting cut off because she's drinking too much. She's reports of her crawling on the ground, stealing other people's drinks. She's just a mess.
Yeah.
It does look like she has the look of a woman who realized that she might need to find another man. So she kind of started working out and, like, you got to do your best. You got to put your best foot forward.
Yeah, she's actually got makeup on. Her hair is combed. I mean, she's wearing regular people clothes instead of just whatever happened to be left on her body from the night before, which is where we usually see her.
That is shocking.
Yeah, no kidding.
And she looks like she's actually gained a few pounds, too, which is something she desperately needed. But
yeah.
All is not great in Amy Winehouse's life because she and her soon-to-be ex-husband were in front of a judge yesterday where it was agreed to by the judge that they could get a divorce. So I think if there's no complications, it'll be official in like 2 months or something like that. But he definitely said, yes, you two are getting a divorce. And we thought, let's find out what this major life change is going to be like for Miss Winehouse. And she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Amy.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin and Bean? How are you? Yeah, I know. I sound like
we're
a
good.
Man. Yeah, I know.
We're looking for
Amy. Amy Winehouse. That's me. Yeah. All right. All right, moving on.
We're looking for Amy Winehouse, please.
Amy, is this you?
It is me, yeah. Called me.
Right. So do I have it right? So you and Blake were in front of a judge yesterday, and he said, yes, we're going to grant the divorce decree.
Yeah, it's all over for me and me, Blake, and it's really sad because we're true soulmates. And by soulmates, of course, I mean drug users.
Right.
And we were very much in love, and by love I mean codependent.
Right.
And so it's sad that it always to be over, but once in a while a girl's got to just dust herself off and move on, and that's what I'm planning on doing. And I think that everyone, you know, can tell by the way I look that, you know, I'm much in a better place now, much healthier, both physically and mentally.
Well, it certainly looks that way, and I think Kevin hit on something, that now you're on the market again, you have to at least try to be attractive to guys again.
Well, it's not what I'm doing it, really. It's not, I'm not trying to prove myself for any man. I'm trying to do it for me.
Really?
Yeah, it's about me being healthy and then getting a man. Right. It's unhealthy. It's about me. It's about me finding a man. It's not about a man. It's about me finding a man, which is different, and you need to focus on you. They teach you that in a 12-step program. You can't do this for anybody else. You got to do it for yourself, and then you can do somebody else.
Right. What are you looking for in your next man, Amy?
I want someone who can keep me on the right track, because I don't know if you've noticed or not, I have a tendency to go off the rails a bit.
Yeah. You have problems with drinking. You have problems with drugs.
I do. I have all of the above. And so I need to find one with strong moral strength who can help me keep me on the right track.
Now, do you have someone in mind? Or
David Hasselhoff. I think he's a handsome man.
Yeah.
And he's popular in Germany.
Right.
Which is good because I'm British and I don't want trouble with Germany. Because the last time that happened, it was World War II and they bombed the crap out of our country.
Right. I'm not sure David Hasselhoff could stop
that. David Hasselhoff could put a good word in.
Okay.
Then maybe Germany would stop inventing wars.
Okay. David has a little problem himself, perhaps, with alcohol, though, Amy. That might not be the best.
Oh, I think I would have heard about that if that was the case. I watch America's Got Talent. He always seems quite sober.
Yeah, he'll fall asleep in a McDonald's drive-thru or show up on a floor at his hotel room in Las Vegas with his shirt off. I mean, there's a lot of evidence
Stop it. You're turning me on.
There's a lot of evidence that he...
I can't afford to get excited. All right. How about Andy Dick? I heard he's available.
Andy Dick also has some personal demons that perhaps would not mesh with yours.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You think people would talk about that if that was the case?
I think they have. I mean, I think that's out there.
He was on Celebrity Rehab. I don't know.
It's like America's Got Talent.
Sort of.
In a way, with drugs and alcohol.
But no.
These names off my list. It's getting to be a very short list.
Sorry, but those two may not be the best for you.
Well, I've got one here. It's an American DJ named Kevin Ryder, apparently.
Oh, no.
God,
just
no.
Drinks his face off and has a hard time getting to work and can't find his key to get into the building on a daily basis.
Yeah, you don't need that.
I think I need someone I can take care of.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's pathetic enough that I might be able to mother him.
Are you suggesting that I'm worse than you?
Wait a minute. Is that you?
Yes.
No, I don't want you then. You never know who you're talking to on a phone.
Okay. Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Emmanuel Shariki is going to be joining us later on from the from the Entourage, by the way, which is finally back. So that's on the way. Also, it's Friday. That means Ralph has the movie beat, and Adam Carolla will be here. I wonder if he'll be fired up about something.
Hmm.
I wonder if there'll be some rage in him when he shows up this morning.
I don't know if you heard the story about NBA star Richard Jefferson, who apparently plays for the Spurs. This past weekend, he was supposed to get married. And according to the New York Post, he was going to marry a New Jersey Nets dancer. And a few days before the wedding, he broke it off. A couple of days.
Oh, did they have a big wedding
planned?
It
was only a $2 million wedding.
Whoa.
They didn't, it turns out, get the word to everybody, so a bunch of people showed up for the $2
million
wedding.
It must have been a huge wedding.
Yes.
Oh, no. People showed up.
Yep. So one of his friends called him from the church or wherever it was and said, hey, where are you? And he said, we're not getting married. And he apparently gave him his black card, his American Express card, so they could go crazy and kind of have a party on him.
No.
Why the card got to be black? Is it because he's a basketball player? Is that what you're saying?
That's not what I'm saying at all, though.
Wow.
But 2 days. 2 days.
Unbelievable.
We always do this topic because it is fascinating to us, the last second doubts that come into the minds of people. And I mean, you are just about to, and I know that it really doesn't mean much these days when you say, I'll stay with you forever. Really?
Yeah.
But you're just about to say that and then you call it off.
Right.
Do you think those people in the back of their mind, they kind of know, but they don't want to hurt them, or they keep thinking things will get better.
I'll feel better about it or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is what's fascinating about this topic, especially if you're involved, as this couple was, in planning such an elaborate and expensive wedding. It's a miracle any couple stay together till their wedding day after planning a wedding like this, because you got to imagine this one had to. I don't know any of the details of this wedding, but I'm telling you, she had 11 bridesmaids. I'm just telling you right now that it was one of those kinds of weddings.
Wow.
Well, $2 million. I mean, I don't know how you spend that much.
Yeah, I mean, planning a wedding like this where they were probably spending $100,000 on flowers and all those things, those are the things that drive everybody crazy. And it's a miracle that anyone ever gets married. But Kevin is absolutely right. You're planning on spending the rest of your life with this person. And at some point, either leading up to or immediately, you know, or the day you get to the church, you change your mind. And you have to – I mean, everybody probably goes through the doubt, the questioning, am I making the right decision, because it's such a big decision. But you don't know how much of that is just pre-wedding jitters, how much of that is just nervousness about the thing going right, and how much of that is your fear of what happens the next day when you guys wake up and you're married.
So here's the question. The question is, would you rather, as a woman, would you rather have the guy go through with it and then get it annulled or get a divorce, or leave you at the altar?
Okay, well, are you giving me the choice of, if I show up to the church,
yes,
would I rather he just go through with it rather than at that moment cancel it?
Yes.
Oh, dear God. I don't know. I have a feeling if you go through with it, you may end up staying together for a couple of years.
That wasn't the case here. They did break up like 2 days before the wedding, but we always take calls from people who got stood up at the altar, and that's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Maybe it was that day.
That's brutal.
Especially if the wedding was already like everybody was in place and mm-hmm. just there's no groom or there's no bride.
Yeah.
Well, there are people who, you know, I bet there are some people who go through with it because they don't want the embarrassment of friends and family flying in from out of town and
right.
being there and everything like that. They just feel like, well, let's just put on a show and then we'll deal with it afterwards, I guess.
Right, and it's a little more quiet and everybody might gossip about it, but at least it's not such a public slap down.
Yeah.
As if one of them shows and then the other person is gone.
I think you, again, the number 1-800-520-1067, if you want to weigh in on this. If you've been left at the altar, we want to hear from you.
Especially
if it's less than 2 days. I think that the thing to do is to go through with the wedding, then just live separately and make sure a year passes so that you get to keep the gifts.
That's the important thing to you is the gifts?
You're supposed to return them if the marriage breaks up within a year, right, Lisa? You're supposed to return the gifts?
Yes.
Is that
Can you imagine
policy?
Doing that?
Do people do that? I mean, do they really return that?
They do, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, because you don't open them yet, right?
I don't know.
I guess you'd have to open them and
you
Can
probably
you imagine
do.
Getting dumped at the altar and then having to do that?
Having to send back gifts.
Oh.
Which you'd have to do. I mean, they give them to you for the marriage.
I would send out that wedding dress, what, in your closet?
I would send out an email to everybody that was that gave me a gift, and I would say, your gift can be picked up on
yes.
my front lawn on this day between these hours.
It's the only way to do it.
If not, eBay. Sorry.
Wow.
The story from a couple of years ago with that crazy lady with the eyes, remember the runaway bride?
Sure.
Yes.
Her deal was just didn't show up. It was they were at the church and everybody was assembled. She just didn't show up. She got in a car and drove away like in the movie, right?
Right. Yeah, that was that. And you know that there are people who, I wonder, I don't know, you know, it's hard to say. It seems like people have done everything, but I wonder if they ever got to the point where they were doing their vows. And the pastor said, or the preacher, whoever, Justice of the Peace said, do you take, and then they go,
you know I can't do this.
I'm going to have to go no on that one. I wonder if that ever happens. Like,
wait, me?
Does anyone
her?
Object? You know what? I do.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be the way to go.
They stopped asking if people object because of a-holes like
pranksters.
Me.
Yeah. Pranksters.
So that's the case. And we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's squeeze in one real quick. It's Maria. Hi, Maria.
Hi, you guys.
What happened to you?
Well, it was 4 years ago, and I was given an ultimatum. I guess he had met someone previous to everything he had already planned and everything, and he gave me an ultimatum for a payout. He was like, if you just don't show up, I'll give you enough money to move forward and not worry about anything. And,
wait a second. Hold on a second here, Maria. He wanted it to appear as if you were leaving him at the altar?
Right.
Well,
wow.
It is less embarrassing for her, in a way, right?
Yeah, I guess.
She's not the humiliated one.
Did you take the money and run?
No, I forwarded the email to all of his family members and to his friends and let them know what an ass
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it would have reflected poorly on you, I think, if you had done it. I mean, you would have known why you did it, but I bet a lot of people would have thought you were a bad person for stiffening.
Yeah, of course.
And his family more I was worried about because I had to establish such a relationship with them.
Right.
I didn't know how to do that, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Boy, who's got the balls to do that? Who thinks, all right, I'm gonna pay her off to make it look like she left me?
Yeah.
I heard that's the same thing. something that this girl is being offered from this basketball player.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
The story that we're talking about, this NBA star Richard Jefferson?
A six-figure deal for her to, I guess, just deal with it.
Just go away and not cause any PR nightmares?
When I heard that, it kind of brought back bad memories, and I was like, oh my gosh, men are really that idiotic sometimes. I was just...
Well, it depends how much cash.
Yeah, Lisa will do it. Lisa will stand anyone up out there who wants to offer enough money.
You know the wedding's not going to happen at that point, right?
Of course.
You may as well profit.
May as well get a little something from
A little something.
Maria, last question. I'm so glad you called on this. Did he end up staying with or marrying the other woman?
He had a child with her, and she ended up going back to who she was with before.
Excellent.
How about that?
Of course, it's always something that you just have to, you know, wait on.
Jerry Springer is very much alive.
Thank you for the call, Maria.
Thank you, Maria. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back. If you got left at the altar on the day of or the day before, you got left holding the bag, so to speak, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next.
Here's what I think is funny, by the way. We were talking about getting left at the altar, and we had Kevin B. Lister Jeff on the phone, who apparently left his wife at the altar.
Yeah.
And then how funny is it that he is so has such a problem with commitment, he could not hang on to talk to us.
He bailed.
He now left us at the altar.
Wow. Yeah.
Now we know what it feels like.
And now we know what it feels like. So we and his one-time future wife have something in common. We've both been stiffed by Jeff. You bastard.
But you know what? It's a little different in that his story involved Vegas. So anything that involves Las Vegas and a chapel there, and
because that's usually one of those last minute.
It could be impulsive. It could
yeah,
be impulsive.
Exactly.
And it could also be alcohol fueled.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, I had one of those impulsive Las Vegas spur of the moment type weddings and have never been able to get out of the marriage since. I mean, I'm giving you a warning here that sometimes you think it's all fun and it's a great weekend and it'll be a party, but then you wake up and you find out you're married for life. So I'm just giving you a warning.
If I recall correctly, you said, hey, what do you want to do? Watch something on TV or go to Vegas and get married? I believe that was your...
Well, it was the movies. We were going to go to movies. And the movie we wanted to see was sold out. So our next option was, well, if we can't go see that, let's fly to Vegas and get married.
Miss Cleo says that Jeff's story was that he started throwing up prior to the wedding. I guess that's why he canceled it.
He canceled.
And then he called her a week later and actually ended up marrying her.
She took him back?
I guess so.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing.
Wouldn't you have to see that throw up? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's really trusting a person.
You better have taken some pictures.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you a question on a different topic. Why is it so embarrassing when your credit card gets turned down?
Because you look like a loser.
Yeah, because you look like a deadbeat, like you're somebody trying to pull one over.
So I'm in the Apple store, and I'm getting an iPod.
Yes.
And it's the little Nano, which is, I think, $149.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I hand the girl my credit card, and she runs it, and she says, oh, it's not taking. And I was like, oh, no. You know how you start sweating?
Yeah.
And I hope you said what everybody said, which is, well, that's on your end because it works.
Yeah,
clearly,
exactly.
There's nothing wrong with it.
You get defensive immediately.
You do.
Because it just feels like you're such a loser. So she says, I'll run it again. I'm sure it'll go through. They try to make you feel better. Meanwhile, everyone in the store is kind of stopping what they're doing and kind of tuning into the conversation because this loser over here can't get his credit card to go through.
Let me ask you something. When they run it again, does it ever work?
Never.
Never, right?
Not for me.
They're doing it as a courtesy?
Right.
Yes.
You can see the people looking at you. You can hear the people going, oh, the guy over there with the car.
And you're trying to look all nonchalant and not see you sweat.
This isn't a problem. I'm not worried.
I've got good credit.
So then she goes the extra step and says, you know what? It's this thing that I'm running it through. It might not be taking. I'm going to punch in the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the third try on the same card. So she punches in the numbers, and that, of course, takes forever.
Right.
By now, pretty much everybody in the Apple store has quit doing what they're doing. They walked over, and they're surrounding me, and they're just watching. And they're watching me sweat. And it gets denied.
Does she pick up the phone and say, let's call him and see what's going on?
No. I interrupted at that point and said, oh, well, let me just give you another card.
Yeah.
That's the way to go, by the way. That's totally the option.
Because it's not, you know, it's not worth. I don't want to waste your time. I just wanted to get this over with.
Yes, dear God.
So I gave her another credit card, and she ran that one, and that didn't work. As
now there's no explaining your way out of it, by the way.
Have you been cut off?
Apparently. So that one didn't work. Now it's like... Attention, people in the Apple store. There is a man over by the iPods that can't get a credit card to work.
For $149.
Right. So I go for my third card, my last card, and I'm thinking, what do I do if this one gets turned down? I literally have to just go, here's your iPod back. I'll be back some other time.
Like, and then you have to go find out why the government has cut you off and is absconding with all your money.
It's not really the government. I'm not a whiz when it comes to organization.
Yeah.
That might
what?
Surprise you a little bit.
What?
I'm not.
We've met you and would have never suspected that.
I am not an organized person, so I could very easily be at my limit and not know it.
Was the credit card that worked maybe hiding behind the key card to get into the building in the morning?
Could be.
Could that be the problem?
It could be. So then I go through the hassle of bringing out the third card. Now they're making announcements in the mall.
Attention, mall shoppers. Please hurry to the Apple store. There's a guy on his third credit card. It's like it's a death-defying circus act that you don't want to miss.
It's weird.
Will he be able to pull it off?
It's weird because when you're there shopping, you think you're in your own world. But for some reason, the whole mall revolves around you and you can't get your credit card to work.
Yes.
So the third one, she runs and she says, yeah, oh, okay, it worked.
Oh,
I was like,
God,
I was sweating bullets. I was like, just tell me yes or no, so do it quietly so I can crawl out of here on my belly.
Kevin.
Slithering on the ground to try and get away from people.
This is pathetic.
It's pathetic. I know.
You actually have people, by the way,
but
who help organize your life.
But doesn't everyone, that happens to everyone, right?
Well,
when does that happen? It's happened to you.
No.
What?
It has happened to me, but it's probably been 20 years since it did. I mean, it doesn't happen anymore.
I did have to buy a TV
on
a credit card, and they had to call because it was a big purchase, and I don't normally make big purchases, and I had to talk
to
the woman.
Get the okay.
They had to make sure it was me, and there was like this whole deal,
not
and I felt like kind of an idiot.
Not as bad at all.
But no, not at least I...
If she would have called someone, anyone, if she would have just faked the call, everyone would have gone about their business. So that's what I would like to suggest is if you're working in a store and somebody's credit card gets declined, please just fake the call and say, oh, okay, and then go, it got declined again. But don't say it out loud.
No, that's humiliating.
Because then I'm in the middle of a circus and everybody's pointing and laughing. And
I wish I could have been there. I would
have laughed. They should have some fake, some empty iPod boxes behind the counter, too, that they can hand you in a bag so that you can walk out with your head high as if you purchased something.
So you can have a little dignity.
Right.
An iPod box of air is all. I would have settled for that. That would have been better than what went on.
Two. Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the movie beat later on this morning. Adam Carolla will join us as well. Hey, Laird Hamilton is going to be here, one of the great big wave surfers of all time. And from the Entourage on HBO, just back for its new season, the beautiful Emmanuel Shariki will be here next hour, too.
Yeah.
My co-star from Deceit.
What?
My co-star from Deceit.
What's Deceit?
Deceit was a TV movie we did together.
Who?
Emmanuel Shariki.
You worked
with myself and Ashley Scott.
You didn't work.
How did
with
we
her.
Miss this?
Okay.
You
whatever
did.
You say. No, you know. You just said you know.
When was this?
You know. You just said it. You
when
know.
When was this?
A couple years ago.
You Deceit? Were working here a couple of years
IMDb.
Ago.
IMDb. Look it up.
But you didn't tell us?
I did tell you. We talked about it, but no one seems to remember.
But we didn't watch it?
I don't know if you watched it or not. I
it
told you when
like
it was
I
on.
I would have watched
watching
it.
Watching it's your choice.
It's up to you.
Was it
good?
It was good.
Did you have any scenes with Emmanuel Shariki?
No, I worked with Ashley Scott. But she was
Who's
in
Ashley Scott?
The other person.
Ashley Scott is a beautiful blonde actress who was in a TV series called Birds of Prey. She's had a huge career.
Okay.
Yeah, click on that, Deceit.
Look at that. You're in Deceit.
What was your part, Ralph?
Is this a different role?
I played a police sergeant. In that film.
Sure enough, it says police sergeant.
Emmanuel Shariki.
Oh, yeah. How you like me now?
That?
Yeah.
Well, this is all news to us.
You didn't work with her.
And Joey Pants.
Yeah, Joey Pantoliano was there.
You would have told us if you were on the show.
I told you.
And we would have watched it.
We apparently not.
We would have watched it because
sure
we care
would've.
Very deeply about you and your career.
Yeah,
I know you
do. Must have been on vacation, though.
Yeah, you must have been. Or maybe you're boycotting Adrian Barbeau that week. I don't know.
Hey,
I kind of do remember
she was also
about
in that
Adrian
movie.
Barbeau.
Yeah,
that does ring a bell.
Ashley Scott. You know Ashley Scott.
Yeah.
She's stunning. She is stunning.
Let me tell you guys what's really
my
weird.
Scene was with her. My big scene was with her. She is adorable.
Yeah.
I got to see this. Here's what's really weird. You know how you enter something in a Google search and it finishes the phrase for you?
Yeah.
If it's a commonly enough search phrase? Well, I just typed in Ralph Garman, and it's so interesting to see the stuff that came up that completed the sentence. In other words, this is other searches people are making that have to do with Ralph Garman.
Ah.
Okay? Ralph Garman K-Rock is the first one that comes up. Ralph Garman Family Guy.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Ralph Garman Christian Bale.
Sure.
What do you think? Is that because of your interview? Yeah.
Christian called in to talk about his meltdown.
Yeah. Here's some single ladies apparently checking out the status. Ralph Garman Wife. People want to know what that's all about. Ralph Garman 10 Items or Less, which is a TV show that Ralph is a recurring character on. And here's where it gets interesting. Ralph Garman Fired.
That's me. That's my search. I search every day.
That's you?
Hoping to see that
fired?
I've been fired.
Did I get fired?
Yes, but it doesn't. It never comes up.
And the final two are Ralph Garman leaving K-Rock or Ralph Garman leaves K-Rock.
That's me again.
Is that again to your wish list to Santa?
Sometimes I do fantasy searches.
Is there another actor named Ralph Garman that was in this TV show with her?
Sure. There's tons of us, Kevin. You know all those Ralph Garman actors floating around this business.
Just saying.
Anyway, Emmanuel and I go way back.
We'll ask her. We'll ask her about you.
We never worked together, actually, in the movie.
I'm sorry, what?
We were in the movie together,
right?
But never actually worked together in the movie.
So if we asked her, that would be embarrassing for you?
Not at all.
All right,
it wouldn't be embarrassing for me.
Don't worry about it.
Because I know her answer, so I'm not going to be the least bit shocked. She goes, no, I don't recall him and barely remember that movie.
Are you the Ralph Garman on IMDb who's in This Monday as Steve?
I am in This Monday.
What is that?
This Monday is a short independent film, which is currently in the Los Angeles Film Festival.
Oh, what? No kidding.
Yes. I star in that.
There are many layers to you that we're not aware of.
Look, you don't know everything about me, man. I'm a man of mystery.
Not usually.
I'm cloaked. I'm cloaked in mystery. That's how I like to see it. All right, enough about my lame credits. Let's talk about showbiz news. Tragedy in France. The Madonna concert, you may have heard about this by now. They were constructing her stage in Marseille, France, and they had one of these lighting trusses, giant aluminum lighting trusses, they were hauling up on a crane when the crane collapsed.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Killed two people at the venue, sadly. One was a Frenchman. Another was a British citizen, a British Foreign Office official, who apparently was high-ranking in that department. Another person is in critical condition. Two other people were hospitalized and required surgery, and seven others were treated and released.
That's so, just not good.
It was just a nightmare.
It wasn't during the show, it was during the setup?
No, they were constructing the stage for the show. Madonna has canceled that show and released the following statement. My prayers go out to those who were injured and their families, along with my deepest sympathy to all those afflicted by this heartbreaking news. So, bad stuff.
That'd be tough to be
associated. What happened to Madonna's face?
That would be tough to be associated with something like that where people die and not your fault.
No, but your name's all over it, and they were building it for you, and no really word on what went wrong with that crane. They do this kind of stuff all the time, but it just takes the once for a disaster to strike. Paris Hilton thinks she's somebody.
Really?
TMZ.com's got a great story about her calling the DMV in Santa Monica, California. Actually, she didn't call. She had her assistant call to let them know she was coming in and to arrange to have her go straight to the front of the line so she wouldn't have to wait.
Oh, come on.
The DMV acquiesced.
No.
She showed up, got to the front of the line to renew her photo license, and did like a mini photo shoot. She took five different photos for her license before she was happy with
the
one she got.
They don't let you take another shot?
Yeah, she got five.
You're going to have drool on the side of your mouth and look retarded and then just go, that's your photo.
One and out.
Wow.
And by the way, when they showed up, her staff told all the employees there to turn their cell phones off so they couldn't take any photos of her while she was there at the DMV.
Well, they can't make you do that.
She treated it like it was Ledoux, like it was some club on a Friday night. She got red carpet treatment. She came in behind the velvet rope. She got...
Turn your cell phones
off. She got table service at the DMV, which I thought was weird. They brought her a giant bottle of Chirac vodka while she was waiting to take her license photo. I just thought that was
strange. Did somebody in line shout,
stop whoring around, Paris!
That was me.
Stop being a whore!
I was that guy.
Oh, you're in line.
Who, I mean... A manager or somebody who runs that DMV office had to approve all this. We should try to get a hold of that person and ask why.
Well, I would imagine they do that for huge stars.
Yeah, because it disrupts everything. I'm sure that's part of it.
Well, she's Paris Hilton.
Look, I don't know if the paparazzi were following her or whatever, but Lisa's got a point. They may have just wanted to be business as usual, so the quicker you get her in and out, probably the least disturbing it is.
But to turn off the cell phone things is ridiculous. I mean, that's
it is,
unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
I want her to suffer. I want her to be there all day, right. 8 hours to get a photo.
You hope there are certain moments that equalize us all, and people right. like Paris Hilton has to just mingle in the muck with the rest of us peasants.
Apparently right. not.
But apparently not.
Nope, that's the first picture you took. That's the only one you get. Here's your license.
That is not satisfying.
At least that.
right.
Jessica Simpson is on an emotional roller coaster, her friends say, since Tony Romo broke up with her the night before her birthday. People magazine says she was blindsided by the news. Didn't see it coming at all.
Giant size cans.
Friends say she is sad, mad, and confused. Well, confused. At least she's getting back to normal then. That's yeah. good. She's feeling normal again. Rob Pattinson and Kristen Stewart are apparently over. They're no longer dating the Twilight co-stars.
But still filming a movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's got to be awkward. Awkward.
Yeah.
Life and Style magazine says the couple has split, and Rob's been dating his co-star from another movie called Remember Me, former Lost star Emily DeRaven.
Oh, yeah.
She played Claire on Lost, the beautiful blonde Australian actress Emily DeRaven.
One had the baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
So apparently they're a couple now. Kristen Stewart's out, Emily DeRaven's in, which is, you know, smart move on his part.
That's an upgrade. But they got a kid.
That's a definite upgrade.
They have a kid? What?
Doing the Claire baby thing. Like now, but she's got a baby. And
put it in the file. Put it in the file. You can't play.
Sure, everybody else does it. Why can't I
do it? Welcome to the game.
People have to at least acknowledge that you're making a joke before we can recognize that it's bad, Lisa. That's the problem. We just thought
it was timing,
general confusion on your part.
I didn't say it right.
There was a lot of problems.
But Claire's got that baby. That's what I should have said.
Yes.
Yeah. Then you would have gotten
something.
I still would have gotten in the file.
Close to a joke.
You would have gotten it.
Yeah. Now there's another reason not to watch American Idol.
Excellent,
Kevin.
Like I need another one.
Murder.
What?
American Idol murdered.
What does that mean? Let it be Seacrest.
No, sadly, it was a little puppy dog. A little terrier.
Don't tell me this story.
Apparently, Quincy Vanderbilt, a 24-year-old aspiring singer, and his girlfriend and her small terrier made a trip from North Dakota to Denver's Mile High Stadium for the show's auditions.
Right.
When they hopped in the line, they left the little terrier in the car with the windows up.
Oh, come on.
It was a 90-degree day in Denver.
They are too stupid to live.
When those windows get rolled up, the police say it probably got to about 160 degrees inside the car.
Wow.
So when Quincy stepped out of line to check in with the car, with the puppy, he was already gone.
The Summer of Death!
Quincy has been charged with animal cruelty. And we'll have to return to Denver to face charges. So, but if it wasn't for American Idol, that never would have happened.
You're right. I'm never watching again.
Excellent. Murder.
Excellent.
American Idol murders puppies.
American Idol blows.
American Idol kills puppies. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the windows were down and Seacrest went out and rolled them up.
Really?
That's what wow. my sources say.
Big cover-up.
My sources on the DPD. It's Denver Police Department. For those of you who are in deceit. That's how we talk when I was researching the role.
Were you a cop?
I was. I was a police sergeant.
Wow. What does
it
say?
Ashley Scott was the investigating detective underneath me, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. No, right. sir. No, sir.
All right, then.
Yeah, and she was looking into a crime involving Emmanuel Shrieky where there was some shenanigans going on.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What does it say about your look that you are so often cast as law enforcement?
Well, Marilyn Manson thought I was a cop, for God's sakes.
That's
backstage.
Right.
When he was he had a cold.
He was allegedly doing drugs.
And he was wondering...
he saw Ralph and he freaked out.
Yeah. He thought it was a narc.
Like a cop?
Just looked like a cop, I guess. Look, a lot of cops are Irish. I think there's an Irish vibe about my persona.
Kill the pigs.
Oh, come on. What is wrong with you?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Donald Sutherland is 74 years old. Donald and I, of course, co-starred in MASH, a very popular movie back in the 70s. Robert Altman directed.
You were not in
I played Hawkeye Pierce.
I don't think that's accurate, by the way.
Geezer Butler and I, of course, were in Black Sabbath together. Geezer, the bassist for that band, is 60 years old today. David Hasselhoff is 57. You may remember me playing Hobie, David's young son, on Baywatch.
I was in Baywatch.
Were you really an extra?
Yeah. Well, I got some lines though. I got.
Oh, really?
I won it in a silent auction.
You won it in a silent auction?
My parents.
You won the role.
Yes. Yeah. My parents got it like a 5 and under.
Do you remember the line?
I think I saw him around the cove.
Wow! Look at you.
We are in.
There's your applause.
We are in. entertainment royalty here this morning.
Hasselhoff is 57. Mark Burnett turns 49. He, of course, the producer of Survivor and many other popular TV shows, including The Apprentice. And motocross star Carrie Hart celebrates his 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I don't know if you saw this story out of the Ukraine, but they have decided that Bruno, the movie, is not welcome in the Ukraine. No,
they're banning
you.
It?
They're banning
completely?
It. Yep.
Wow.
They say they are objecting to its scenes of nudity and homosexual acts.
Well,
the
there's
culture
that.
Minister said on Wednesday.
Let me let you know, that movie Bruno got to be on L-O-G-O.
Well, Dewan is right about this. It is awfully gay. But the beautiful thing about the United States is the movie can show, and if you want to go see it, you can. And if you don't want to go see it, you don't have to. But apparently that's not how they roll in the Ukraine.
Yeah, I didn't know the Ukraine was like that.
Well, apparently are. We have the information. No, not the information. The Ukrainian cultural minister. Hi, sir.
Hello, how are you?
We are good. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you.
You were talking about your country banning Bruno.
That's right. I heard the female say that she
Lisa.
Did not know. Yes,
yeah.
Whatever. That she did not know the country was like this. You did not know that it's a country of morals and a country of good taste.
Well, it's not that. It's
no,
just
I thought
that,
it was a country of freedom.
It's that we thought.
There's freedom, and then there is the abuse of freedom, which creates obscenity like this Bruno-ish film.
Right, but what we're saying is if the Bruno film comes to your country, no one has to go.
No, but this way we'll make sure no one's going.
Okay, all right.
We
okay.
are banning this film in both movie theaters in Ukraine.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. No one will be able to see it.
Wow.
Well, here in America, we're uncomfortable with the government deciding what's okay for us to consume. That's all. That's the only difference.
Listen, America is country of two girls, one cup. Okay?
So, that came from Brazil in our defense.
Your people are watching it, and that's what their culture has been reduced to. So I'm not interested in taking lessons from you.
We would rather not be judged by that video, if that's okay.
Yeah. Too late.
All right, now I have...
And a lemon party.
No,
please, don't say that.
Not us.
That's you, too, as well.
Nope.
You are enjoying that
that's
with your decadent ways.
Not doing that, no. So I have a couple of clips from Bruno, if you don't mind, I'm going to play. In one scene, he does join the Army Reserve.
Okay.
And he's starting to work out, but he decides that the outfit is a little too straight, and he needs a scarf to add to it.
What's up with the scarf?
That is like it's my own thing.
Let me introduce you to somebody.
This outfit is too matchy-matchy, as it is, and so I was just trying to break it up with some simple horizontal lines.
What type belt is that, candidate? What is that?
D&G.
What is D&G?
Dolce & Gabbana, hello?
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 So you can see that
is so incredible gay.
No, it's just funny. I mean, he's just poking
look at
fun.
Me. I put belt on. Oh, do me in their buttocks. No,
no, no,
no thank
one
you
said
for
that.
Much. No, thank you for much here.
Nobody said that.
Oh, I am wearing scarf. Oh, look at me. I have scarf in my anus. No, thank you very much.
No one said that.
It's not for us. Thank you. I don't like this actor. I like these movies. Yeah, for the first one, I'm not liking in Ukraine. This Borat.
Oh, you didn't,
you didn't care for Borat either?
I like.
Yeah.
You like sodomy.
See, now, I'm surprised by this because I would have thought, isn't Borat from allegedly from a country very near yours, a former Soviet Union country?
Kazakhstan.
I mean, I think that would... Yeah.
Yeah, he makes fun of us to make us sound simpleton. We carry poop in a bag.
Okay, that's not the case.
I like sexy time with you. I like put you in gulag. I like old country, good old days. I take you in the back, feed your testicle to Rottweiler.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
Ouch.
Take
okay.
it easy. All right, I have one more clip. He goes on the Richard Bay Show, a TV daytime talk show, with a little black baby. And they're a little outraged.
How did you find your son?
I swapped him.
You swapped him? Swapped the baby for what?
An iPod.
What? You are the baby's father now, and you chose to dress that baby up in a t-shirt that says what?
Gaby.
That's not the baby's name, is it?
No.
Gaby is the t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
See, because he's a baby.
He's a baby.
But he wants him to be gay.
Well, yeah, but it's more of a...
He wants the gay babies to have gay sex with each other.
No. It's just
this is what you like in America. That's
no.
what you're saying this is good for us.
No, it was just a joke. He was just having fun at other people's expense.
At the gay baby's expense. Poor little baby's gay. Couldn't help himself, and then he outs him.
The baby isn't gay or not gay. The baby's
okay.
gay.
He wasn't outed. I don't know if baby's gay or not.
Well, because the baby hasn't hit puberty yet. I mean, the baby doesn't have any kind of sexuality at that age.
Right. The baby's like two.
What's the other scene there in that same scene, making fun of black people? In that scene.
Oh.
He makes fun of the black people.
I gave him like a traditional African name.
So what's the baby's name?
OJ.
He named the baby OJ, if that's what you're referring to.
I did not know he makes fun of blacks. Okay, that's funny. That's okay. That's pretty funny.
Hey, before we make the phone call, and this is the time you have been waiting for the grand prize to see Kings of Leon in Nashville and be eligible for the smart car and the free gas from Arco for a year. Do we have time to play a little bit of this Michael Jackson song that just got revealed? It's so weird. Since the dude died, all this stuff is coming out, like the hair catching on fire video. 25 years that's been sitting in a vault somewhere. All of a sudden, they release it this week. We hear Michael Jackson's got like 100 songs in the vault or something like that. Now they're already starting to come out, and a clip of one of them was released yesterday. No fooling.
There's a there's an old song. What was the name? Horse with No Name?
Yeah, that's Horse with No Name.
Here's the original from 1920.
About 1972, I think.
I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain.
Now, I don't know how Michael Jackson takes that and makes a song out of it.
No idea.
I don't know how Michael Jackson ever heard that song.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's the whitest song ever.
Go, go, where am I, friend? I'll take care. Take my hand. I'll take it there.
That is grammatically incorrect. Take me to a place without no name.
I kind of like that.
You do?
I mean, I like the original.
I don't. But
yeah,
I
I'm not
like
surprised.
The original, and I think that I would like to hear more of that song. It sounds pretty repetitive. That's the only thing I think.
Well,
I would,
that's the problem with the original too.
I think it would wear on me after 3 or 4 minutes. But I'm always encouraged if somebody dies, and I don't mean to be morbid about this, but I'm always glad if they have stuff that's pretty finished in the vault to release rather than just scraps that they made so many bad Tupac albums where they took stuff and other people came in and finished it and added lyrics and beats and music and stuff like that. It's nice that this at least sounds like it was a song ready to go.
Yeah, but he says 100. I don't know how many of those you could.
100.
That's what they say is 100 in the vault. I doubt that, but who knows. All right, let's do our grand prize drawing. This is a trip for two to Nashville to see Kings of Leon. K-Rock Road Trip USA, stop number one.
And I would imagine, by the way, if you're going to see Kings of Leon outside of your hometown, why not see him near their hometown in Nashville, Tennessee? Seems like they'd be putting on a great show in front of the hometown crowd.
I believe we're calling the middle of the desert somewhere. Never heard of this city.
Is there a horse with no name?
That's correct.
What's the name of the city?
Rosamond.
Mond. Rosamond.
Rosamond.
It's off the 14.
Yeah.
It is. Place, I've been
that
there.
That place doesn't exist.
Hey, we're looking for Zach Boatwright.
This is him.
Did we wake you up?
Yes, you did.
Sorry about that.
Dude, it's Kevin and Bean calling on K-Rock, man. Sorry to wake you.
You don't have to fake it, man. You just got up. It's okay. You know how you won the tickets to see the Kings of Leon at the Forum?
Yes.
Yeah, you also qualified for a trip for two to Nashville to see the band, which you are just now won.
Mm-hmm.
So you get round trip airfare, you get hotel, you get the tickets to the show, and we are going to load you up with $106.7 of spending cash.
That's it?
Yep.
This trip is going to cost you money.
Although you have to trade that in at the airport. They only accept euros in Nashville.
Oh, this is going to be wild. I'm so excited.
Do you have a crowd there? What's going on?
Sound like he's sleeping in a soccer stadium.
Yeah, I'm in a hotel room. My buddy's getting married today. And so there's like 12 of us in here, and it is wild already.
Oh, that's very cool.
How about that? Well, yeah, you've won a trip to see the band Kings of Leon in Nashville, Tennessee, and you are also qualified for a drawing we'll do at the end of the summer because you could win a smart car and a year's supply of delicious and beautiful Arco gas. So you're still in the running for that. You may get another call from Kevin and Bean before it's all over.
That sounds awesome.
Although it seems like that's too much for you. I got to be honest.
No, it can never be enough.
All right. Wish your buddy the best of luck, and congratulations. We'll have somebody call you back with details.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, man.
How about a long, quiet summer in front of the TV finally ends as Entourage returned last weekend? How about that?
It's always good. It's always good when there's anything showing during the summer that you like to watch.
Yes,
and Entourage
exactly.
is one of our favorites. It's Can't Miss TV, Sunday nights at 10:30 on HBO. We are very excited to welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful Emmanuel Shrieky from the show, back on Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Emmanuel, how are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
It's always... Hey, I'm so happy to be talking to LA Station.
What, have you been doing press all day today for the show?
Just a little bit. But it's always, like, kind of exciting. You're like, oh, yay, home.
Exactly. Well, how about, you know, putting in a word for your buddies Kevin and Bean once in a while, a little less big boy from Power 106 on Entourage. How about that, huh?
Okay, done.
I don't think she's in charge of the music, but that's fine.
See what you can do.
That's all right.
Well, we're as we mentioned when we brought you on, we're very excited that the show is back, and it looks like things are churning with your character a little bit. It looks like Sloane is going to be a little bit back in the mix this time around.
Yep.
How does that work out each season? Because some seasons you have a lot more to do. Other seasons you don't have quite as much. Do they come to you this year and say, we're going to make you a big part of it?
I mean, basically, yeah. Basically, they were like, we're really going to explore Sloane, and we're going to explore that relationship a little bit.
And this is Vincent's manager, Eric, played by Kevin Connolly, and this is you showing him a house in the first episode of this year, and you're kind of flirting a little bit, and he's kind of flirting a little bit.
So, how is dating life?
What?
Oh, let's not get weird about this. You're dating, I'm dating. We can talk about it.
Wow. You really are keeping tabs on me, huh?
I'm really not, but I was forced to hear about you stumbling out of Foxtel with a pretty young girl.
And I was forced to hear about you making out with a pretty old dude at Dantana's.
Oh, who's keeping tabs? And you know me. I don't make out in public.
With old dudes.
What is their relationship, Emmanuel? Are they the type of people who just, they can't get along, but they feel like they have to because they've got such a strong attraction for each other?
I think it's that, you know what it is? They just, it's timing. It's timing between E and Sloane.
Yeah.
They love each other. There's no question. They'll always love each other. They had an amazing time together. I think they were probably each other's truly, like, real first loves. And they're just trying to figure it out.
But if you were in that situation in real life and you had three douchebags hanging out with the guy you're in love with, like on this show, it would drive you crazy, wouldn't it?
It's a little much.
Yeah. It drives me crazy.
That's a little much.
Yes.
It would drive me bananas, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just thought of this, Emmanuel, but does Sloane have a job or is she just hot for a living?
No. She does have a job, as you will see more of this season. This is part of the getting to know Sloane. No, she does. She's a kind of event planner, does a lot of charities, you know, which we kind of, you could see she was headed in that direction.
Sure. So basically, right? She's hot, though. I mean, really, that's not much of a job.
Being hot.
Yeah.
All right. Now, all right, here's next question about Sloane as we get to know Sloane this season on Entourage. Does she have a webcam?
Hello?
No. That was just a pause. I wasn't ready where you were going. No.
He wants to know if there's going to be a webcam. He was very clear.
Oh, that's very disappointing.
All right.
What about, I understand if there's some you don't want to give away, but one of the fun things about Entourage, and I guess it's because so many actors like the show, is they all want to be on the show. Are there any good cameos this year from people who are going to show up?
Oh, they're great cameos this year. Great cameos. As you saw, Jamie Gertz is on the show, but we had, like, LeBron James, Matt Damon.
That's pretty cool.
That's going to be a little nutty to see those.
It was nutty. It was nutty altogether just to shoot. It was so much fun. I happened to be on set the day that LeBron and Matt were there.
You just happened to be there that day?
I was shooting.
Yeah,
was
you
like,
just...
I'm in a scene with them.
All right.
Like, we don't have any... They, like, nod to each other.
Right.
But, you know, we had to be at this private airport hangar thing, and it was awesome.
That is cool. I wonder about, I mean, let's face it, basketball players historically are not much in the acting department. I like LeBron's TV commercials, but how is he when he has to play a role on a TV show?
Oh, my God. He is so great, and he's so articulate and so cool. Oh, my God. He's so cool. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's not right. He shouldn't get everything.
It's not right.
Now, Seth Green is one of our favorite characters. Does he come back this season?
Seth does not come back this season.
Oh, all right. Just checking. Just trying to run some things by you.
It was funny.
But see how you know what? That I know of. I didn't read every episode.
Okay.
I don't know that 100%.
All right.
Okay. New episode this Sunday night on HBO. What is there anything you want to tip us off to? Anything you want to tell us about and encourage people to tune in maybe if they haven't been watching The Entourage?
Watching. Yeah, no, it's great. It's the premiere of Vince's film, and lots of juicy, juicy things go down.
Oh, see, that's fake teasing. We didn't get any real details.
but it is interesting to see what happens, because part of what's gone on in Entourage the first few seasons is that Vince has kind of struggled a little bit. You know, he's had an occasional hit, but a lot of failure, and now he's going to be a bona fide movie star because of this Scorsese movie.
He's
so it's
on top of his game. Yeah, 100%. And it's exciting, actually, because it really sets the tone. It really sets the tone for good stuff.
Yeah, and I'm sure it gives Ari, Jeremy Piven's character, a lot to crow about.
Oh,
that's a bizarre sound right there.
But I love Jeremy Piven's storyline this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
All right. Yeah. Well, you're not giving us much detail, but we...
I'm sorry. But we like... I know, it's so vague.
We like what we hear.
Good. I just know this. I'm very excited about this season.
All right. Fantastic. Entourage, right, we'll of course, is on Sundays at 10:30 on HBO. There's been one show this season already, so you could probably – they'll probably show that again.
Yeah.
And then catch up on Sunday night. Thank you, Emmanuel, for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey. It is Friday morning, and it's time to take a look at the movies.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Couple movies in Cineplexes this weekend you may want to check out. One is called 500 Days of Summer. This is getting a lot of good buzz. It debuted at the Sundance Film Festival. And it won Best Film there in that film festival.
No kidding.
It sure did. Stars Zooey Deschanel, who I just adore, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's a very talented young actor. You probably remember him as the little kid from Third Rock from the Sun, but he has since gone on to become sort of an indie film darling.
He's kind of a smart-ass kid.
He was the funny little kid in that show, and he's gone on to be quite the actor and quite the filmmaker. It is about a greeting card writer named Tom, played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who falls for his new colleague, Summer, played by Zooey Deschanel, rather. And
I don't think it's what she wants to go by.
Doey Z. Chanel, as I call her. On their first day of work, when they're working together. And what comes next is a look at the subsequent year and a half of their relationship and how things went wrong, basically. That's where the 500 Days of Summer comes from. It's not Summer the season. It's Summer the character. Anyway, here in this scene from 500 Days of Summer, Tom and Summer are discussing nicknames in college.
Well, you're a perfectly adequate greeting card writer.
Thank you. That was actually my nickname in college. They called me Perfectly Adequate Hanson.
You used to call me Anal Girl.
Whoa!
I was very neat and organized.
She was neat and organized. That's why she got that nickname. Anal Girl.
Very different from how Lisa got the same name.
Giggity!
Also opening this weekend, well, actually opening 2 days ago, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, but it is in films for the first weekend this weekend. Of course, this is Harry Potter in his 17th year at Hogwarts, here in the 94th film in this season. Here, a 48-year-old Harry has to take on somebody who's got a lot of bad magic in him. Whatever.
Are you not a fan of these? I love these movies.
I've never seen one of these films.
Really?
Yeah.
They're really well done, I think.
I got a wand, hocus pocus, look at me, my broom's playing cribbage.
I don't think their brooms play cribbage.
That's what happens.
I think they're well made.
I think so, too.
I'm looking forward
very
to it.
Very suspenseful.
This is the 27th film in this series, and it's very exciting because he finds a textbook in this one, and bad things are in the textbook. That's what they tell me.
Yeah, you haven't seen it.
Just like with the old Star Trek movies with the aging cast, I'm always impressed that all of the cast members of the Harry Potter movies are still alive when they go to make another one.
Me
too. At some point, they're going to start dropping off.
They're going to have to reboot the franchise.
They're going to have to go Harry Potter the Next Generation. They're going to bring in some younger actors.
Get some younger wizards, right?
We've been doing about every other year, guys, I think.
For about 50 years.
It hasn't been that long.
This is the 79th Harry Potter movie. There's more Harry Potter movies than James Bond movies.
I don't think that's true.
I haven't seen a Harry Potter movie since my 10th birthday party. We went to one. That was the last one I saw.
I used to have Harry Potter come to my birthday parties when I was like four. Some guy would dress up as Harry Potter and come and give out gifts.
That didn't happen. It happened hasn't been around time. That long.
Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Professor Dumbledore. His name's Dumbledore.
It is.
Yeah. He and Harry are discussing how to destroy Voldemort.
Who's the great evil on the
show.
Who
is the great evil. He's probably the former owner of the textbook. It was the property of the Half-Blood Prince. Might be
remember
him.
When,
who knows?
Roosevelt called out Hitler, called him the new Voldemort. Remember
I do
that?
Remember that. One of his fireside chats.
Wasn't that long ago.
Here is a scene from Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
4 years ago, when you saved Ginny Weasley's life in the Chamber of Secrets, you brought me this. I knew then this was a different kind of magic. Very dark, very powerful. But until tonight, I had no idea just how powerful.
And the ring?
Belonged to Voldemort's mother. Difficult to find. Even more difficult to destroy.
But if you could find them all, if you did destroy each Horcrux...
One destroys Voldemort.
Wow.
You could destroy Voldemort that way.
If I had any idea what any of that meant, that would sound very tense and very exciting. Because the Chamber of Secrets, you have to destroy the mother of the guy who has the cauldron and put the newt's eye in.
This might be the wrong movie for a guy who doesn't see the movies to review.
Right.
You've not seen any
of
them?
I'm sure this is very... But by choice, I've avoided this series.
And that's fine.
Oh, it's so good.
So those who like Harry Potter, and they are going in droves and having the time of their lives. I'm just saying, ooh, I hope Dumbledore doesn't find the secret cauldron in the naked room of sequins.
You don't know anything, man. There's no naked room of sequins.
Have you seen this Harry Potter kid? He's naked constantly, usually with a horse. It's very weird.
I would enjoy Kevin Splains Harry Potter at some point, by the way.
Anytime.
All right, maybe Monday you can give us a breakdown of everything that's happened in all the films.
Easy. No problem.
I'm looking forward to that.
Not a problem at all.
More than I am the movies this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Amberlynn on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Kevin, Friday morning, our friend Laird Hamilton, big wave surfer, joins us later on in the hour. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, from AdamCarolla.com and the Adam Carolla Podcast, the Ace Man has stepped into the studio. Hey,
get it
on.
Yeah, great to see you guys.
He's still trying to work in Get It On?
Get It On!
All right.
By the way, quick note of the podcast before we hear from Adam, and that is today's episode already posted at AdamCarolla.com is Adam sitting down with our own Ralph Garman.
So candid Ralph Garman. Candid Ralph Garman.
How did you get that one? How'd you land that guest?
Evidently hates both you.
Afraid to listen to this one because I have a feeling it's going to all come out on the podcast.
Just got back from the Playboy Mansion, fellers.
Bean was saying he saw something about you being there. When was it?
Well, it was a couple nights ago, and they had the SB whatever. They had some sort of poker tournament. Poker evidently is huge.
It's
one of those things that I understand was big, like, you know, in the 1860s when guys would accuse. The only thing good about a poker tournament is when one guy accuses the other guy of cheating and then slides his chair back and goes for a six-shooter. That's the only exciting part.
Yeah,
they've eliminated
anymore,
the
though.
One exciting part. Now we just have a bunch of weird Asian guys wearing nine pair of sunglasses, and we get to, hey, you want to watch a weird Asian guy drink Diet Mountain Dew for 14 hours? This is your sport. It's a horrible. Who watches this crap? It's on TV.
I watch it.
Okay, here's all I want to say. You go to Vegas a lot.
Yeah.
You sit down, and you're playing craps, you're playing 21, whatever it is you're playing, and then at some point, you crap out, or you're out of money, and you stand up, and you say to your buddy, come on, let's go to the Star Garden. Let's go to the Olympic Garden. Let's go over to Club Paradise. And he goes, hold on, man, I'm on a roll. And then you do that move where you stand behind him for a while, and it's 2 minutes, but it feels like 2 hours. Then you go, I'm going to the bar. When I come back, we're going over to the Olympic Garden, okay?
Right.
And then you come back and you stand there for a while longer, and then you decide to play some nickel slots. It's excruciating watching your buddy gambling.
Yeah,
why
I can see
is
that.
It exciting to watch somebody gamble on TV who you don't know? Your buddy, who if he wins is going to make it rain at the strip club.
Right.
At least you have something at stake there, and even that's excruciating. It's like, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Go. You do that thing where you go, go out while you're on top. Let's
yeah,
go.
Right, right.
Let's go. Let's go. Why is it okay to watch from your television?
I don't know.
Set?
I love it. I think it might be because you can see what everyone has and they don't know.
I've been to one of those tournaments. The tournaments go on for 14 hours.
They do.
And at some point, you get introduced to a guy who's wearing a members-only jacket with gravy on the front of it, and they go, this guy's a legend. And you think, you're driving the beat-up Camry that's out in the parking lot of Santa Anita. You have gravy all over your mom's members-only jacket, and you're a legend. You're wearing three hats. You're a legend. I can smell you coming from across the casino. You've had 15 Diet Pepsis and you're a legend.
Yeah.
Really?
So you didn't play. You just went to watch?
I played in it.
Oh, you
did
play.
Sat for 2 hours and then realized the real winners were the ones who got out of here and beat traffic. Not the ones who sat here for 13 hours in a building with no windows and no shame.
But this was at the Playboy Mansion, I thought.
Oh, no, not that. This was another one at Santa Anita. The one at the Playboy Mansion, I was just hanging out doing the podcast, watching all the other losers. Sorry.
Okay, I got you.
I saw some of the photos from that event, Adam, and am I mistaken or were a lot of the Playmates there wearing nothing but body paint?
They do, and I guess once you remove the pubes from the equation, I guess it's game on with the body paint.
Yeah.
Somehow the pubes don't, it's clown-esque to paint the pubes. It sends people the wrong message. Once pubes were removed from Playmates, I think
that's good.
When the spray painting really began.
Is it spray painting? Is that how they do it?
It's an airbrush.
Right.
It's a great gig. I'm sure a gay guy who doesn't enjoy it does it because that's the way it works. We take any job that straight guys would normally go nuts for and we insert a gay guy who hates it.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know why that
I think
works.
The girls feel less threatened,
the girls
perhaps.
Look comfortable, yeah.
Yeah. But wait a minute. You're uptight? You're uptight? You're walking around nude
That's
with Bud Light spray painted on your ass in front of 1,500 strangers at the Playboy
That's
Mansion.
That's a good point.
You have delicate sensibilities? You're
do
wallflower?
You feel like, when you're looking at those girls, do you feel like they're naked, or is the paint so good that it's like they're wearing a swimsuit?
It's weird because it depends what angle you see them from. I saw a chick just from the back, and I was staring at her bare ass, and I thought, is her front that way, or does she have like a pirate patch over the front, or have they filled it in with spackle? Like, what have they what have they done to the front? And I couldn't get an angle on her, so I don't know. Listen, if I don't know what you're asking, but it'll work.
It'll do.
I think that's
gotcha.
What I'm saying.
Right.
It definitely would work.
All
yeah.
Right.
It's a nice dress code.
Yeah.
All right. You can check out AdamCarolla.com for the podcast, including Ralph Garman's posted for today. We'll take a quick break. I bet you're angry about some stuff that you want to get off your chest. Am I right, Ace?
Three things. I got them right here.
This Week in Rage is next.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show means our friend Adam Carolla joins us for what he likes to call This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
All right, first up, which is third up, we work down to number one. It's taken me 19 weeks to figure that out. I still screwed up. Number three, I was watching the great Jimmy Kimmel's show. Larry King was on the other day. This is old dude with young pants syndrome. You see this guy? You see the guy, you know, the Crypt Keeper, when he's wearing the Ed Hardy jeans, trying to hip it up for everyone? And somehow it doesn't work. Actually, it makes you look older.
Yeah, it does.
He went out on Kimmel's wearing, like, the Ed Hardy jeans. If he was wearing a casket, he would have looked younger. I don't like it. I saw an old guy wearing a Wolverine sweatshirt the other day, and I thought, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't like it when old people wear young crap. It creeps me out. And then I started thinking, maybe they ought to check for ID. You know what I mean?
Like so Larry can't buy those pants because he's too old?
Well, listen, if a 14-year-old goes into a liquor store and wants to buy a sixer beer, they go, let me see some ID. We don't want you doing any damage. We don't want you getting any trouble.
I like it.
Larry, you know, when a 65-year-old guy goes in to buy himself some Ed Hardy jeans or a True Religion or whatever the hell the kids are wearing these days, Jordache or whatever.
21 Forever.
Hey, old-timer, gonna need to see some ID. Sorry.
Then you
have to send, like, your grandkids in to buy the jeans. The guy shakes me. Who are you buying those jeans for? You don't look like a 36, Waze. You look more like a 28. Yeah, I'm just saying. And by the way, Ed Hardy, I passed an Ed Hardy billboard on the way here. There's an Ed Hardy billboard that's on, like, La Brea. Really? Does the guy need a billboard? Every goddamn shirt says Ed Hardy 5,000 times on it. It's not like someone's going to go, hey, where'd you get that $200 t-shirt, Hanes? Do you really need the Ed Hardy t-shirt when everything you produce is its own billboard? I mean, billboard, you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, this one inspired a request by Kevin of Kevin and Bean.
That guy has some good ideas, but no one listens.
Yeah, he said,
now, this is number two, no matter which way we're going,
number
right, Adam?
Number two. Yeah, this is the person. Well, it's. I'm going to break it off into two pieces. This is the person who doesn't know what to do with their arms when they're walking. Their legs are walking. Their arms are jogging. Legs going out to get the mail, arms running a marathon. Or vice versa. They're jogging and their arms don't. They're just laying there, just flat. Just limp next to their side. Like, these are people, and you see a guy, and he's like 45, and you realize he's been on the planet for 45 years. He still has no idea what to do with his arms when he's walking. And this guy's the close cousin of the guy who has his own handshake. And I don't mean the soul brother or anything. I'm just talking about the guy who takes the traditional handshake,
right,
but instead of going up and down, he goes right to left.
I've never witnessed that guy.
You've never seen this guy?
No.
Oh, you haven't had enough horrible business meetings with radio guys. Or the guy who grabs your hand, turns it 90 degrees so it's flat and goes that way. Or the guy who grabs the end. This is the power move. The guy grabs just the ends of your fingers and squeezes them too hard. Or there's this guy, and this is the scariest move ever. I always see it. It happens in slow motion. You go to meet him and he slides his hand
and wipes
down
it off.
Oh, yeah. And you know, and it, to me it's like no.
Yep.
When I see the slide, I want to just do a shoulder roll and jump out of the building, the window of the building. It's like a slow just on the thing. And that guy should just do the Howie Mandel fist bump. And by the way, in today's Purell world, shouldn't we just do the bow?
Just bow like,
I feel
yeah.
like the Japanese got that one down. Just tell you,
no touch.
You know what I mean? Just tell you. Yeah, we don't want to touch. Soon as the microscope was invented, we should have gotten rid of this because we're freaked out. We understand how it works now, right?
I think you're right, Adam. And I'll tell you something else as a PS. For some reason, and I can't figure this out, the hug has become so popular now. It used to just be you only hugged people that you were close to. Now, casual acquaintances, when they get together at lunch or something like that, are hugging one another, and I can't figure out what that's about.
Nothing in it for you for the hug. Whether it's grandma or supermodel, doesn't really matter.
It depends on the hug.
Yeah, but depends. It's not like you're making out. It's not like you're getting oral sex. I mean, there's nothing. It's just a hug.
Right.
You're just exchanging lint.
But women do the arch to keep you away.
Yes.
Right. Hug.
Yes.
Yeah. Or they pull you close. There's a big difference.
Well, that's true. And I'll tell you how you know the person really doesn't like you. When you feel the palm, that's fingers out, palm, just smacking you in your spine. There you go, buddy. How you doing? Just like you have something lodged in your wind tunnel. How you doing, buddy? That's weird slap. I like the uncomfortable hug guy.
That's a little overkill.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Number one, the snooze bar. Never really thought about the snooze bar until the other day, but I thought, first off, alarm clocks were probably around for 80 years before the snooze bar was worked into the equation.
Right.
This is a horrible thing to put in an alarm. Nobody factors the snooze bar in. It's not, if you're giving somebody, I bet you Ralph Garman has been late 256 times on account of the snooze bar. How many man hours have been lost? How many flights have been missed because of the snooze bar?
You don't build that into the
equation.
You don't
build
it
in. You go, all right, I got to be at LAX by 7 o'clock. I'm going to set the alarm for 5:30, but you don't factor in the 41 minutes you lose hitting the snooze bar 18 times. And by the way, the snooze bar should have a cutoff, right? Three times,
and then it won't.
No more snooze bar.
Yeah, of course.
The one thing that does have the cutoff that you don't need the cutoff for is the phone. You ever go look for the phone, the phone around your house where you can't locate it, so you hit the locator thing on it?
Mm-hmm.
It rings two times, and then it stops. It goes, bring, you take one step to the right, then it goes, bring, and you take one step to the left, and then you're standing in front of the base again, and you don't know if it's upstairs or in the basement. Why does that have a cutoff? Who decided that should have a cutoff? But the snooze bar? Endless snooze bar.
You can do it for a week if you want.
It's a buffet, yeah. And you know what I realize that people like about the snooze bar? It sounds cool. Sounds like a club that Johnny Depp might have part ownership. Hey, Jack White's doing an acoustic set at the snooze bar. If the thing was called the loser knob, or...
Well,
yeah, I mean, if it had
or you're
going to
be late?
Yeah, if it's called the loaf plunger, you would be too shamed to hit it, right? And it does serve, like, what if smoke detectors had a snooze bar? Or what if like the metal detector at the airport? Or what if there was some button you could hit, like on your, you're driving along, you see you're on empty. The fuel gauge says empty. No problem. Hit a button. Reset it to full. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Again, you're right. We lose millions and millions of dollars in man hours each year because somebody invented something called a snooze bar. It should be eliminated.
This is what's great about Alec Carolla. He's got the answers. He just needs the right people to ask the questions.
That's
and this
right.
world would be a whole lot better. AdamCarolla.com is the website. Please enjoy his podcast. They're posted every day, including today's with Ralph Garman. Adam, have a great weekend, man. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Bean.
Laird Hamilton, or, if you prefer, the human fish. This Hawaiian giant has only one obsession, riding the biggest waves in the world.
There's just no question that this guy is the best big wave rider the world's ever seen.
Laird's wave at Chopu was the most amazing, single most significant ride in surfing history. More than any other ride, any other ride.
Do you remember what you're thinking here?
Yeah, I'm thinking you should jump off. A few times in my life that I feel totally complete, like this is why I'm here. When I'm out there and I'm doing it, I don't have any doubts or any questions. Just, I live. I'm living it. And that's it.
You know, it's so weird. We love Laird. We've had Laird on the show numerous times over the years. They don't even mention in the intro that he's clinically insane.
Yeah.
That's the part that's being left out of the introduction to the great Laird Hamilton. Laird, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my
good
friend.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Great to talk to you. A rare.
Let me out of my cell for a few minutes to call you guys.
Here's what I like about Laird. We were told that we could have you on the show. We of course said yes, and then we got another call, and it was something about Laird may or may not be on his way to Fiji to surf a wave.
Oh, you mean Tahiti? Sorry.
Oh, Tahiti. Yes.
Like it makes any difference.
Same
to
ocean.
Us.
Same ocean. Some island in the middle of the Pacific.
No, but I'm saying who picks up and just goes to Tahiti because there's a wave.
You know, I live by the call of the sea. I can't help myself.
That's the best.
I'm going to start using that. I live by the call of the sea.
Schedules. I hate schedules. They're like, oh, you have something on Friday. I go, oh, I know there'll be a big swell.
Yep.
As soon as you schedule something, it's going to be big.
So, Laird, how does this work then? You got friends, you're probably at every port around the world, and they call you and go, dude, it's really going off here in Tahiti. Get on a plane.
I think they enjoy somehow. You know, subjecting me to my pleasures, you know what I mean? So
sure.
They call me up, they say, yeah, looks like a big one's coming, and then depending on what's happening, you know, if I have the Kevin and Bean show or not, I might be able to slip away and fly down there and catch a giant wave, you know?
And by the way, we should also mention this, because this is an important part of the equation. Laird isn't a guy who's working on a 17th floor of an office building in Oklahoma City, and he finally gets to see the ocean. He's already living and surfing Hawaii every day of his life. That's what he leaves to go surf someplace else around the world, is Hawaii.
It's ongoing. You know, it's always greener, right? I look across, I go, oh, it
sure.
must be a lot better over there. So I race over there, and I go, I should have just stayed home.
Well, Laird has a rare appearance on the mainland this weekend in Southern California at the Hyatt Regency in Huntington Beach. Tomorrow night is going to be the second annual PacSun Pipeline to a Cure. What's this all about, Laird?
It's for cystic fibrosis, and it's a actually they discovered in the last I think 3 or 4 years that the victims with cystic fibrosis in Australia were living a lot longer and healthier than the rest of the CF victims in the world. And
really?
They found out because the guys were going surfing every day. And that that breathing, inhalating, you know, salt water, like salty air, really helped hydrate the lung and actually made the lungs healthier. So since then, they've kind of developed like an asthma aspirator or something that they can breathe this stuff in if you don't go surfing. I actually have a friend of mine, Emily, who is a cystic fibrosis victim, and she surfs all the time. And, you know, just the connection with the ocean to helping the victims. And then obviously, you know, in surfing, probably our biggest fear is drowning. And essentially that's what happens when you have cystic fibrosis, is that eventually your lungs fill up with fluid and you suffocate. So
wow.
It's like a slow process of drowning. So we have kind of a connection indirectly and directly, and you know, not is a little bit morbid in the concept of the whole drowning thing, but it's something that attaches us, you know, attaches really everybody to the ocean. I think that we're going to continue to find that the ocean is what keeps our planet healthy, and the way we're destroying it right now, I think we need to kind of be aware of it.
Is it just the moisture in the air, or is it also the de-stressing? Oh, it's the salt, yes. But I mean, is it also
the moisture? Well, no, because I think that it's hard to tangibly measure what being in the ocean and you know, in the water surfing does emotionally and spiritually. I won't get into that. That's
right.
A whole other topic. And obviously there are some factors of you know, de-stressing, or however you want to describe it, and just being in the water, the physical exertion it takes, and a little bit what that does. But you know, scientifically they're showing that the salt mist really hydrates the lung and helps these people with their disease, you know.
Interesting. Now, is it because of your friend Emily that's what kind of got you interested in fighting cystic fibrosis?
You know, it was a combination of both. I got connected through, hey, did you hear about what, you know, salt water's doing? And then I met Emily, and then I became kind of, you know, attached to her. And, you know, and just the connection, you know, we do things for autism. We have a connection. I have a few friends that have autistic children. You know, my other friend, Augie, has Lou Gehrig's. We're connected to him. You know, obviously you're a lot more vested when you know the people that have because it's out of sight, out of mind for a lot of people. You know, if
right.
somebody's sick and they're like, well, that's not affecting me and my family. But
that's
then
right.
all of a sudden, you know, so when it is affecting somebody you care about, you automatically want to become a lot more proactive. So it's that too, you know. I think I met her indirectly through it, but then now I've become friends with her, and then obviously my concern grows as you know people that are, you know, affected.
Sure, sure.
And are going to die, you know.
This event we're talking about again is at the Hyatt Regency in Huntington Beach. The great Laird Hamilton is on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the second annual PacSun Pipeline to a Cure, and Dave Kalama is going to be your co-host for this too, right?
Yeah, he was last year, and actually a close friend of his helps put the event on. There's a silent auction at like 6 p.m., and then there's dinner and tables, and it was an incredibly fun evening last year. And it's gonna, I have a feeling it'll be the same. A lot of really good people there that are concerned. A lot of people from the surfing industry, are connected to it. And again, because of the, you know, connection directly to the ocean and then to the people that are affected, that, you know, and then that's, you know, becomes the priority. So
it's a great
thing.
Well, it sounds like a fun evening at the Hyatt Regency Huntington Beach. You can also register to win a new Toyota Prius. They're going to be giving that away, and I'm sure, Laird, you're going to be there and accessible. Fans of yours want to come down and meet you and shake your hand. That's something you'll be doing, I imagine.
Absolutely. That's a responsibility of mine.
And you can go to pipelinetoacure.com if you'd like to.
Unless Laird gets another phone call from a friend who says it's going off in Barrow, Alaska, in which case he's on a plane.
Thank you, Laird. Good luck.
Aloha, you guys.
Here's the next question about Sloan as we get to know Sloan this season on Entourage. Does she have a webcam? Hello?
Be the interview killer.
Yeah. I thought that was a reasonable question to Sloan from Entourage. Come
totally
on.
Creepy.
I think it depends on the delivery, and in that particular case, the deliverer.
I didn't say it in a creepy way. She may have taken it in a creepy way, but I was just trying to laugh it up. Look, she was not the most exciting, dynamic interviewee in the world.
Yeah,
I was just trying
fault.
To spice
no,
it up
right.
a little
it's
bit.
Her
it's her fault.
Let's, it's her she fault you creeped her out with telling her basically you wanted to see her naked on an internet cam.
Let's hear that one more time.
Here's the next question about Sloan as we get to know Sloan this season on Entourage. Does she have a webcam? Hello?
Be the interview killer.
It wasn't even like, it wasn't even a word. She said it was like a guttural sound.
You know when someone in the middle of a phone conversation says hello, so things are going poorly.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to say hello again at that point.
She went, like, this woman has been hit on her entire adult life by creepy old dudes.
Yeah.
And then she has to suffer through it on the phone.
All right. Put it in the file, Mike. I'll think about it. It's the Kevin and Bean Show Friday morning. Ralph is here for our final look at the showbiz beat. What the heck's going on?
One more question about Sloan. Do you sell her panties?
Sweet Jesus.
Some people can pull that off.
Have you ever talked to a woman, Bean, before? Like,
women
in person?
Women hate Bean.
They know that.
It's true. Instantly.
But,
they hate him before he says anything.
But at
some
point in his life, he must have had to have communicated. He's married, for God's sake. He must have had to have a conversation with one of them.
He talks at. He doesn't have
the problem that, I mean, if she had a webcam on the show, on Entourage, it would be awesome, though, right? That's all I was suggesting.
We're not saying
great visual.
We're not saying that the concept behind it is bad because she is hot.
Yes. That's all I'm saying. That's my point. It's, let's spice it up a little bit.
That's right. Good conversation to have here with us, maybe.
But do you ask her about
not
it?
Not with her, when you have her on the phone.
Okay. Noted.
We're just saying, maybe listen to the response and take it.
File that away.
Try to make some sense out of that.
Speaking of sex.
Dean Baxter. Dean Baxter. That's what an Asperger is all about.
It's true. It does have the Asperger's. Denise Richards says that since she has been divorced, she scratches her itch with secret, no-strings-attached sex sessions with just male friends of hers.
Ladies, okay. Listen up.
Listen up, ladies. Look, I don't like Denise Richards.
So they're not in relationship.
I'd like to be her friend, apparently. Yeah.
They're not in a relationship with her.
Oh, no. She said, you don't want to bring men home to the house, but I have certain needs. Friends with benefits are awesome. I used to be like, oh, no, you have to be in a relationship. But after going through divorce, I'm like, life is short and I want to have a good time.
There we go.
That's what I'm talking about. Motel
Crotch really, really loves it.
Door will be ajar. Come on in.
Airtight.
Chicks love Wang Bone.
Apparently, Denise Richards does. I would do her such a favor.
Yeah, it would not be a favor if you did.
Once again, Bean, she gets a bell. I know she's a miserable person. But
I hate her so
but she's
much.
Absolutely,
so
does not matter.
She has to get the bell.
She's
no matter. I mean, she doesn't destroy the hotness with her personality.
Oh, she, it's not a personality bell.
She dampens it. She dampens it a little.
Okay. I mean, but that shows you how good looking she is. It shows you how strong it is that even with her personality, she still has to get the bell.
Maybe if we have time on Monday, I'd be interested to talk to other guys out there who are scratching the itch of single friends of theirs. No relationship. They just get called for booty.
Have a conversation with me. We'll talk about it for days. So I live my life.
Do they call you for booty?
Well, not anymore, but I lived my life that way for a very long time. I had a lot of friends who just one hand washes the other,
favor.
So to speak.
Yeah.
Did you take a shower
with
them?
How messy you get.
I don't understand.
Oh, Jesus got hurt.
What?
Jim Caviezel. The actor who played Jesus in Mel Gibson's controversial The Passion of the Christ.
Ah, yes.
Narrowly escaped serious injury yesterday when he was driving his Harley Davidson motorcycle and someone threw a bicycle in front of him.
Threw a bicycle?
Yes. A 42-year-old man hurled a bicycle in front of the actor while he was driving. Police believe mental issues may be to blame as to why he did it. Other people think it was the devil. See?
He just played that role on TV.
Or did he? Or
did.
Was
Jesus,
it a movie?
I give you the praise for this.
No.
Or was it a movie?
It was a movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Good point.
It wasn't even TV.
Okay, but.
Still, he went through it.
All right.
That's all I'm saying. Same initials. JC. That's all you need to know. Misha Barton, speaking of mental issues, is being, she's currently staying at Cedars-Sinai Hospital. And by staying, I mean, is an involuntary psychiatric hold. She's got the 5150 working for her. Cops showed up to her home on Wednesday to assist in a undisclosed medical issue. And the police say she was freaking out when they got there. They escorted her to a Cedars-Sinai hospital. And the professionals there at the hospital said it'd be a best for everyone if she just stayed with them for a little while.
Wow, Misha's getting the gong. 5150 usually implies that somebody is a danger to himself or others, right?
Or suffers an obvious mental disorder, or if they're gravely disabled for reason. She could just be having a breakdown for all we know.
Like crazy hallucinations or something like that just makes her unable to function kind of on her own?
Exactly.
It's weird that, I mean, doesn't she have friends or family or something like that who you'd think would be looking after her, helping her out?
Don't have the answer to that.
I don't know about her
Ralph, do you know about her friends and family?
I don't know about her friends or family.
All right.
And Bar Raffaelli's in the news. In a recent interview, she said she may be a glamorous Sports Illustrated swimsuit supermodel.
She was on the cover this year.
But she enjoys the mundane chores around the house. That's how she feels most at ease.
She enjoys them.
Kevin, she says she has a great time cleaning her house, blasting the music, and dancing in between scrubbing the toilet and polishing the furniture.
Giggity, giggity, giggity. In the nude.
Did she have that part?
I just added that part.
Oh.
I'm guessing it's more the dancing she enjoys than the cleaning of the toilet, though.
She says she enjoys those chores. She turns on the music and has a great time doing those chores.
Yeah, that's hot.
I'd like to scrub her toilet, you know what I'm saying?
No.
No. I'd like to polish her furniture, you know what I'm saying?
You want to clean up her house?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'd like to lend a hand, you know what I'm saying? Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Motocross star Carrie Hart is 34 years old today. TV producer, the man who brought us not only Survivor, not only The Apprentice, but Pirate Booty, whatever that show was.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not let him off the hook, all
That's
right?
true. Not everything is gold.
For every hit, there's a couple misses in everyone's life. Let's just keep that in mind. Mark Burnett is 49 years old today. Actor, by the way, where's Jingles? That's still what I want to know.
Great question. He announced he was going to do it. And
Jingles.
Then...
People making up jingles for products. That would be entertainment right there.
Yes. And if Omar doesn't win that competition, something's wrong.
David Hasselhoff, one of our faves around here, is 57.
The Hoff loves to rock.
He sure does. Geezer Butler from Black Sabbath celebrates his 60th. And actor Donald Sutherland, who sadly was on that show Dirty Sexy Money, which I enjoyed enormously, but ABC canceled it.
Went away quickly, didn't it?
Sure did. Yeah. He is 74 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Everybody still awake? All right, big finish.
The weekend can be a lot of fun for the family, or it could lead to disaster if you're not careful.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, want a party on my c***?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The homosexual is right.
Roll another one.
I like meat.
Just like the other one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
This one seems to be about to quit.
What more can you see?
And I need another hit.
When you get these albums on iTunes, do you get the full like CD with the pictures and the sleeves and all that? The cardboard or whatever it is? Come like that?
That's common knowledge to guys who taught it.
Roll
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Just like the other one.
No way.
This one seems to be about to end.
There is a new way to get a facial.
I don't have another cent.
Don't be a silly stupid. It's Cancel Friday.
Yeah!
I don't want.
You gotta be cool
and be free.
I like the balls in LA.
I don't want to join my friend.
Phoenix, Arizona, hello.
I just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
The Hoff loves to rock.
Well, that was a hard one.
It's only gonna get harder.
That's what she said.
With all due respect, I can't listen to this anymore.
And now, till we meet again. Adios, au revoir, au revoir.
I can't do this. I'm out. I'm done. I'm leaving. I don't want to do this. I'm leaving. I'm not doing it. No, I'm out!
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really, a lot of hustle. I liked it.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
This is such a money guy.
You know, I'm surprised we're even working today, Kevin, because it should be a national holiday, if you want my opinion.
National holiday because of
David Hasselhoff's birthday, ladies and gentlemen. The Hoff! Celebrating today and celebrating with Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. He's on the phone with us right now. Good afternoon, Mr. Hasselhoff. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good. Good.
Hey, great to talk to you. You know, the Hoff loves K-Rock.
I hear that.
Hoff loves to rock.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Now, how old are you today, David? I did not hear that when I heard it was your birthday.
I am old enough to know better, but still young enough to do something about it.
All right. I bet you're wearing the T-shirt.
I am, and I got my gold chain on and
sure.
my leather jacket.
Sure.
Just getting ready to shoot some America's Got Talent.
Now, are you working on that show today for your birthday, or you
yeah,
have other plans?
Working a little later today,
okay.
So I'm just kind of kicking back here at the house with some friends, celebrating the birthday before we go out tonight and start working on the show.
All right. Okay, now, this is a delicate question, I guess, but a guy who has faced alcohol addiction problems in the past, is it tough for you on a holiday, on a birthday, to not imbibe too much?
No, not at all. I got my friends around me to keep me on track.
That's good.
Which is great, because you got to have friends, guys.
Right.
You got to have friends.
Right.
America's
right.
Got Talent, and so do I.
Right, you don't. Really.
So I got a bunch of my buddies. We're just hanging out here at the house. I got my buddy Jack.
Uh-huh.
Jack Daniels is his name.
Uh-oh. You know a guy named Jack? Oh, see, now that's what
yeah,
I was afraid
Jack's
of.
Helping me out.
Oh.
Wow, that's a lot of Jack.
His buddy Johnny Walker stopped by as well.
Yeah.
My old granddad's here. Hey, granddad.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many drinks do you need to pour at once, Dave?
I got Mr. Jagermeister.
That doesn't even make sense.
Sure it does.
Mr. Meister?
His name is Jag.
His first name is Yang.
Yeah.
All right.
I got,
now, is his middle name Ger, or is his last name Germeister?
Yang.
All right. Who else is at the party? Or is that enough?
Middle initial
okay.
Meister.
All right.
We got Mr. Seagram stopped by.
Mr. Seager.
Seagram,
sorry.
Yeah, Seager.
Wow, who's drinking now, Kevin?
Yeah, because you know that popular booze, Seagers. My buddy Tangeray. He's tan.
Yeah.
That's why we call him Tangeray.
Right, right.
Anyway, we're all here having a great time. It's a good time here at the hall.
Maybe you shouldn't.
How many drinks did you just pour right there, Dave?
It sounds not like enough. One too many, a thousand's not enough. That's what they tell you in the program. And you know what? They're right.
Yeah, they say
so
that.
I'm going to try 1,000 and see if that's enough.
No, they say that because they don't want you to take one.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, they should be more clear then.
Because if you take one, then
they say 1,000's not enough. I think sometimes 1,000 is just right.
Okay. Mm. I don't think that's their point.
Mm. Wow.
Just a little bit more before I get to work.
Wow.
Oh, my. You might go on to drive.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to
get behind the wheel of the Coche Fantastico.
Uh-oh. You don't sound good already, David. I'm worried.
I got a car that just drives by itself.
Right.
So I don't have to worry about that.
Okay. Right. You should not be driving, Mr. Hasselhoff. I can hear it in your voice. You're already plastered.
I'm all right.
You're okay.
I'm okay.
You were afraid of this.
Yeah. Nope.
No, we
were.
A minute ago, you were fine.
No. Oh, yes.
That's the fastest acting alcohol I've ever heard.
Oh. I'm, like I'm all right.
You're okay?
Mainlines it.
Do we need to,
nope.
Do we need to send?
This is a mess.
It is a mess.
Right.
Oh, this is a mess.
Yeah.
Oh.
Can you put Jaeger Meister on the phone?
Jaeger Meister's not here anymore.
Oh, I see.
He's in my belly.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You want to talk to Mr. Seager? You.
Friday afternoon, heading into Friday evening. Ralph is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
The reviews are rolling in.
Four.
Ralph, heard you on the Adam Carolla podcast today.
Oh, look at that.
It was a fantastic show. I hope that you're able to come onto the show again. You have great stories, and not to be gay, I don't get enough Ralph humor on Kevin and Bean. That's from listener Mike. Thank you, Mike, so much. And I know
it was ugly self-promotion right there.
That was not. It was listener was. Mike. He yeah. sent it. You can check it out yourself.
No way you could have typed that up.
I just want to give people a heads up that I am the guest on the Adam Carolla podcast today.
Is there anyone else on there? That I might want to listen to?
I think,
for example?
I think they break them up. The day we were recording, there was a bunch of people there, but I think they break them up into hour-long segments and then post them sporadically, so I'm not sure.
Now, my fear, based on the conversation we had with Adam this morning, is that you are not afraid to unload on your good friends Kevin and Bean on this podcast. Do I want to hear this, or is it best if I don't?
I think you will be surprised that the little we talk about you...
mm-hmm.
Was actually all good.
The 3 seconds. Yes,
yeah.
I work with them.
That was it.
I don't know what you're thinking, Bean. It's not a big expose on Bean, and let's talk about Bean for an hour.
Although
Adam and I have other things to talk about.
That would be a good podcast.
That would be a good podcast. That's my own private podcast. But no, we said some very kind things about the both of you, so no worries.
Check it out, adamcarolla.com if you want to get the podcast.
Listen away. All right. John Goodman's returning to television, just announced today. He's doing a new show for Fox called The Station, about a group of CIA agents looking to install a new dictator in a Latin American country. Well, that sounds hilarious.
Is it a comedy?
It is. It's a sitcom.
That could be funny.
A sitcom.
Yes.
I can't believe that dude's still alive. I swear to God. I was watching Speed Racer the other day on the cable, and I thought, could he be any fatter, John Goodman, and still get around on his own?
Yeah.
He is massive.
Mm-hmm.
He's
huge.
He has been getting fatter for a long time, yeah. And somehow, against the laws of physics,
yeah.
I don't know how he does it.
The thing is, he doesn't sound fat when he talks. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're not coming in here?
You can hear every pound.
Medically speaking, for your height, your weight puts you in what we call the disgusting range.
Disgusting range. NBC has pulled its show The Listener.
Turns out a lot
of listeners, no watchers. That was the problem. They will Law and Order will be rerun in its place. Good. Because I can't find Law and Order anywhere on
it
my television. I'm glad they'll put some more episodes of Law and Order in front of me. Listener, however, did much better in Canada, so it will continue running there.
Hmm.
So our Canadian listeners, you're in good hands.
We don't have Canadian.
Congratulations to Coldplay. They have achieved something no other recording artist has ever done. They are the first musical act to sell more than 1 million digitally downloaded albums in the U.S.
You know how I know you're gay?
No.
You like Coldplay.
How about that?
That includes download sales of the group's 4 studio albums, a live album, and a full-length EP. But they have passed the 1 million download mark, which no one has ever done for albums before. So congratulations to Coldplay. By the way, they've got a new single called Strawberry Swing. And that will premiere along with the video at a site called Babelgum.com. Babelgum.com is where you can find that.
Is there any possibility that a song called Strawberry Swing can be good?
No.
Okay. It's Coldplay. They do pretty good stuff.
If it was Raspberry Swing, then we might have a chance. But not Strawberry. No. There have been some berry hits, though, when you think about it. Raspberry Beret by Prince was a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Salisbury Hill. Right?
We're already out,
Peter
though,
Gabriel.
Aren't we? It's not really a berry, but okay.
Do you know that we're
suck
still
my
on the
berry. That was done by Seal, I think. He did that one.
I don't think so. Is this Chunk on the Corolla podcast, or did you save this for us?
Oh-ho! Hee-hee! Woo! Woo! John Gosselin's new girlfriend... She is a whore.
Hey. Is that right?
According to the New York Daily News, Haley Glassman, if you go to her Facebook page, they've got photos of her intoxicated, falling face first into a potted plant, and in various other states of disarray from imbibing too much alcohol.
Oh, meanwhile, no. She's a whore.
Another young lady named Joy Lawler has stepped forward and said that she and Haley were longtime lesbian lovers. Saying that she is the ultimate party girl and warns anyone even remotely interested in her that she will destroy you, in her words.
I only pay for this much carpet, but look at how much I got.
She will destroy you.
Dude. Wow. Doesn't sound like that ended amicably.
So, date her at your own risk is what the lesbian is saying.
All right.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Donald Sutherland is 74 years old today. Geezer Butler. From Black Sabbath, turned 60, TV producer Mark Burnett is 49. Motocross star Carrie Hart celebrates his 34th birthday. And I heard you guys talking to David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
David Hasselhoff is 57 years old today.
57.
Celebrating his birthday. So congratulations to the Hoff. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.